last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Don, have you seen the cover of Harper's Bazaar magazine?
I subscribe to Harper's Bazaaro.
Me want revamped kitchen.
You gotta see it. It's Helen Hunt.
Oh, I do love Helen Hunt.
Is she wearing anything clingy?
Inside she is.
Take pictures of the inside.
What, like your urethra and stuff?
Yeah, inside Helen Hunt's vulva.
Today on Inside
the Don and Mike Show.
They like being naked. They think it's neat. They love being nude from their head to their feet. They love being bare when a breeze flies past. They're Don and Mike, and you can kiss their ass.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, listen. We have a couple of animal stories in the news.
Very good.
Don, hey, you love wacky animal stories.
I do indeed.
Here's what we have for you today. We have two. We have either a lady in Virginia who owns 104 cats.
That's always really, you know, that's when we make a call like that, there's always a chance it'll be a permanent relationship.
but normally we'd go immediately with that, but I got to at least read you the headline from the other animal story we have.
Okay.
Hero chimp lands in jail.
Really?
Now, this is a
boy,
story,
they're both good.
This is a story about a chimpanzee who caught a crook. And they were celebrating him as a hero and, like, dressing him up in little boys' clothes and everything.
Stop or I'll shoot!
And then he started biting people.
Really starting to piss me off.
He's bitten two people now, so now he's in monkey jail.
I'm a hero, don't you understand that?
So which do you guys feel like? You feel like calling the cat lady or you feel like calling the monkey people?
I think we could call both, but you ought to call the monkey just to see how he's doing, you know, see if his condition is worsened.
All right, let me see. Hero chimp lands in jail.
Call me if his condition worsens.
Oh, and his name, incidentally, is Mo.
Mo
right. The monkey. There's been a huge groundswell of support for Mo. His many fans want him returned to his heartbroken owners, St. James and LaDonna Davis, who have cherished him like a son for more than 30 years.
Man.
This is wackier than the people we had that had the horse living in their house last week.
Who's the guy that likes the monkey, Mo? It's Samo Joe DiCaprio.
let me see. What happens is, he got Joe when he was in Africa. 32 years ago. I'm sorry, he got Mo.
Right.
What did I say, Joe?
Joe.
He did. Well, you got me thinking about Joe. About Joe Copperfilia. let me see. I saved him from Africa 32 years ago, brought him home. When he originally brought the monkey home, he dressed him in a tux and tails, and Mo was the best man at his wedding when he met his childhood sweetheart and married her.
Gotta like Mo.
The couple never had children. We view Mo as our child.
Sure. That's good,
says St. James. So, in April last year, the chimp was sitting in his cage outside their home in West Covina, California, when he spotted a burglar. He made such a commotion that the St. James family went outside to investigate. They saw the crook. They called the police, but when the cops arrived, they couldn't find a suspect. So Mo the monkey climbed to the top of his cage and pointed to the area where the crook was hiding in the alley.
Look at that. What a smart monkey.
So the monkey then gets on TV. He's the monkey that's everybody's hero. But just a few months ago, Mo found himself on the other side of the law. He escaped from his cage. He went bananas, bit a police officer's hand, and also bit a leg of an animal control officer when they tried to recapture him.
Oh, that's not good.
Then a woman stuck her hand in Mo's cage, and he bit off the top of her finger.
Sure. Oh, dear. You know, people don't realize chimpanzees can be very, very nasty with their mouths.
Now, the attorney for the monkey says... Yeah, no, I'm just reading the story, Robbie. Mo is used to eating red licorice.
Hey, he's used to eating red licorice.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
He's great. I've got him. He's part of my stable.
Mo is used to eating red licorice. The person's fingernails had red fingernail polish on them, so Mo naturally took a bite.
Good right. defense.
The next day, police, health officials, and animal control officers descended on the home, tranquilized Mo, and took him to the animal jail.
Animal jail where he rots at this very moment.
So we are now going to call the family that is without their beloved Mo.
I can't allow you to speak with my client. That won't be possible, guys.
How much you want to bet Donald Ephraim would take that monkey?
Of course he would. Sure. Take him before he take us.
And no, he would take the monkey, and frankly, he would take the monkey's business. Monkey business.
Monkey's business.
Before he would handle our business.
Of course he would. Absolutely.
Right?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to get back to you. I'm talking with my new client, Mo.
I'm negotiating a new contract for Mo.
You know what? We're going to have to do an emergency break-in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important.
I just hope they never find Mo frozen to a fence.
No, that'd be horrible. That
was like
scatter.
Elvis's monkey. Scatter the monkey.
Right.
Yeah, Mo, it's Don Ephraim. I'm here with Joe Coyne and with Elliot.
I'm
here.
Hi, Mo.
Hello? Yes, hi there. I need to make an emergency breakthrough. Can you help me?
I'll do my best. What's the area code number?
Hold on just a moment, please. Robbie, if you would please give him the number.
Look, I'm very busy with my new client, Mo. I can't speak with you guys. Just stay cool.
Stay cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
We're dressing Mo up in a sailor suit, and we've just got him the morning gig at K-Hits in Los Angeles.
Mo is unavailable for comment. Terribly sorry.
Who's on the phone? It's Don and Mike. Tell them I'm talking to my number one client, Mo.
Mo the chimp.
I'm putting Mo on with Roger Ebert since Gene Siskel died. Roger and Mo at the movies.
Give it one paw up. Or whatever they have. I guess they have hands.
You know,
paws.
Throw feces. If he likes through four hugs of feces, he would mean he'd love the movie.
And if he likes it, he'd pleasure himself. Monkeys do that, too.
Yes, they do.
Robbie, how you doing there? All right, he's just giving me the big high sign. Hold on just a second.
Look, guys, I know your problems are mounting, but I'll tell you right now, I'm very excited about defending Mo against these legal charges of biting a woman's finger off. thinking he was licorice.
Who will be representing the attorney, the monkey? I will, Donald Ephraim from Chicago. Hello? Oh, is he breaking in, Robbie?
Yeah, they're breaking in right now.
Very good.
Well, an emergency call. Hi, this is Donald Ephraim.
Listen, would you guys like to get together? Mo, would you like to get together at a nice restaurant and talk over things? Fantastic.
Our agent. I wouldn't doubt our agent would take a monkey as a client.
Of course he would, in a minute.
The break-in name I gave was Don, so you can be Geronimo or Ephraim. However it pleases you.
Okay, thank you. Donald Ephraim.
How's Mo doing?
Hey, you know what we should do after this? Seriously, we should call our agent's office.
Right, and recommend that he take on Mo as a client.
Well, I was going to say, we don't even have to call us ourselves, because we certainly don't have to tell them they're on the radio. We can just call and ask them if they would be interested.
Sure.
In picking up Mo the monkey as a client.
Just like call seriously.
Do you represent chimps?
Yeah, say hi, we have a monkey.
We know you do entertainment law, and we're wondering if you'd like to...
Okay, thank you, Abby.
You're welcome.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello, sir.
Hello.
There's no one on that line.
Oh, really? I was getting a busy signal.
Yes, I'm sorry.
All right, well, thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I think I'm glad we didn't get through because there's no time like the present. Calling our agent in Chicago and recommending that he take on Mo.
All right, so we just play it straight, okay?
Right.
We'll just use first names, Alan Victor.
Okay.
Hello, Ephraim Associates.
Yes, hello. I'm calling on a recommendation from a friend of mine. I understand that Donald handles showbiz accounts.
Yes.
We have, my name is Alan. I'm here with my partner, Victor.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
We have you on a speaker now. We're calling you from Los Angeles.
Okay.
We're wondering if Donald represents...
Animals?
Animals?
We have a chimpanzee that... is very, very talented and actually needs some representation.
Okay.
Now, I know this sounds ridiculous, but he is in the National Enquirer this week. The headline is, Hero Chimp Lands in Jail. And frankly, we've had some interest, and we think that the monkey needs to be represented.
He actually has had some legal problems as well, and, we think that he needs representation for the legal problems and also representation for his theatrical career, you know, for his TV commercials and things like that. He's right now dealing with some legal problems. We don't think he's a little underrepresented, but he bit off a woman's finger.
Oh, okay. If you could hold for 1 minute, I'll have someone speak to you.
We were asking and we heard that You're based in Chicago, right?
Correct.
Right. We heard that you guys represent, as a matter of fact, didn't you represent the late Gene Siskel?
Correct.
Yes, right. That's what we had thought.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, if you'd hold for one moment, I'll hit
you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What's this?
I am Donald Ephraim.
This is his intimidation music.
Yes, 11% of your income.
Now, okay, side bet.
Yes, yes.
We won't get Ephraim himself.
Joe Coyne gets on the line.
I will bet you Elliot. Elliot.
I'm with you, Elliot. I gotta go with you.
Or I'll give you a wild card. Mm-hmm. You ever talk to John Foy?
Mm-hmm. Very rarely.
Hello, Ephraim and Associates.
Yes, hello. We were calling about getting our chimp represented.
Yes, one moment.
Thank you.
Much fun.
I bet it's Joe.
This is more fun than anyone should have at work, in my humble opinion. This music.
Now let's not crack each other up.
No,
let's see
not,
if we can do
not.
A theory.
You have me. You know, I
might have to close my eyes.
Okay.
Right. They're calling Ephraim to see if he will represent a monkey.
Right. What's his last name?
Whose last name? Mo the monkey.
I'm gonna try to get the people's last name. Saint.
The last name is Davis.
Davis. Okay. So
we represent the Davises.
Mo Davis. Chimpanzee.
So what do you think she's doing? She's on the phone right now. She's calling back to Ephraim's office.
Asking if they would represent a monkey.
I have a couple guys from California who mentioned that you represented Siskel and you're still representing Ebert. You know, and I think the dead giveaway would be if we mentioned our name. So
right, absolutely.
We just make like
that
we
was
don't
very
know.
Smart.
Oh. Hi, you guys still holding?
Yes, yeah. We are.
It'll be just one moment, okay?
Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks.
That's terrific. Now we have to really, if we get one of our guys that we know, we're gonna really have to, because I'm gonna want to burst out laughing okay. as soon as they get on the line.
All right, I'm gonna have to say my final choice will be Krusty Joe Coyne. Who is our agent's assassin. Whenever there is a nasty job to be done, he sends Joe Coyne. Are you in agreement, or do you want to go with Elliot?
I'm going to say it's Elliot.
That's Ephraim's son. Buzz?
Definitely Joe. I think they like to dump on Joe.
I don't know. Joe doesn't have a sense of humor. They might be laughing about him. They might actually put Elliot on.
Now, I bet they're having a serious conversation about him now.
If it's Joe, that means it's serious business.
What would you do if Donald Ephraim himself picked up the telephone?
That I'd lose it. I would, but I'd try to get it together. I really.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
How about this music, though?
You know, for goodness sakes, if we were really representing a monkey, we might have been pissed off by
They're
now.
They're getting the paperwork together. Can't blame them. It takes a little time.
Where's my monkey file?
Hello?
Oh, it's Ephraim. Hello?
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 He picked up, though.
It was.
Yes, he did. We got to call back and say we got disconnected.
Okay.
He picked up.
Oh. It was our agent.
The main mother.
How pathetic is
hello,
that?
Hello, Ephraim Associates.
Yes, hello. We're the guys with the monkey. We were just disconnected. We got
somebody picked up and then we got disconnected.
Oh, I'm sorry. They were trying to pick you guys up.
Okay.
Thank let you. Me come you back on the line.
Thank you.
So they're all there.
Oh, my God.
They're all there.
You know what, Rob?
We have to say, so who are we speaking to? Because then we'll find out if they're all there.
Hello?
Yes, who are we speaking to, please?
You're speaking to Don Ephraim.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing? We called about the chimpanzee.
Uh-huh.
Mo Davis.
Mo Davis.
We have a chimpanzee that needs...
I need representation.
The chimp that needs rep?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right now, he's a little underrepresented. He's...
I can't do it anymore.
I'm sorry.
You can do it. Go ahead.
No, we can't. We tried. No, if it was anybody but you, if you hadn't picked up the damn phone,
We had a contest.
You weren't even in the running to pick up the phone.
We thought it would be Joe Coyne who picked the phone up.
But it's
Joe Coyne.
Right
here. With the chimp, we had to get more than one person.
Okay.
God. All right.
I'm hurting. Especially one who bites off fingers. We wanted to know which finger he bit off.
Okay. Let me tell you what we're doing. We're just trying to call these people in California who their pet monkey was put in jail.
Oh, geez.
For biting off a guy's finger.
And we started talking about, they actually in the story had a, you know, a comment about the chimp having a lawyer. And we said, well, we know a better lawyer. And we decided we'd give our agent a call. You know, who better to call to represent the monkey, Mo Davis?
So, there you go.
So technically, for the record.
Oh, man.
Because you really didn't know that it was us calling. Our agent, Donald Ephraim, will represent and will take a cold call from a monkey.
Well, let me tell you something.
Yes.
Generally speaking, we don't monkey around, guys.
All right.
Goodbye, boys.
Thank you, boys.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Goodbye. But for the record.
It was funny until he started doing shtick.
Right. Yeah, but for the record.
He picked up the
phone. I'd like to point out, and he picked it up twice.
With the whole gang. And what he does, he sits there behind his big desk, and he's got like a room full of attorneys.
I'm here.
Joe Coyne was there in the back.
There is no way that they would have sat there and said, you know what?
No way.
Has to be Don and Mike giving us a fake call. No,
right. Absolutely no way.
They really thought that they could make some money off the monkey.
And we both, folks, I'm sorry, but we could not maintain it.
Too funny.
Yeah. Because he picked up the phone.
Hello?
Oh, okay, man.
All right.
That is just too good.
Rob, get out the spray. I just laughed so hard.
Oh, no.
I just let another beeper go.
There we go. There it is.
Let's clear these lines. We are proud to be represented by a man who would represent a monkey.
The main guy, right to the top, no waiting.
You know, that's like calling CBS asking for Mel and having Mel just pick the phone up.
Unbelievable. That is too funny.
Hello.
Hi, you chimpanzee.
This is the Don and Mike.
Mr. Powers, my job is to acclimatize you to the 90s. You know, a lot's changed since 1967.
No doubt, though, but as long as people are still having promiscuous sex with many anonymous partners without protection, while at the same time experimenting with mind-expanding drugs in a consequence-free environment, I'll be sound as a pound.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
All right, wheel her in.
Bring her in, Laura Korn, sexpert.
Wheel her in.
Back for a return engagement on our show. It has been a very long time.
Oh.
Quite some time. How long has it been since she was on the show?
A couple years, I think. You're good with dates, Buzz. How long has it been?
I think it's been only about a year, really.
It just seems like, too.
Yeah.
Seems like a long time.
The mind has a way of blacking out the unpleasant experiences.
Well, she's been waiting here for nearly 2 hours to come on the show, and now...
Now she seems to have gone across the state line while we're... There she is.
No, here she is.
It's Laura Korn.
Here she is.
Like
hello, Laura. Hello, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing?
Hello, Laura.
There she is.
Hi. Look at you.
Hello.
Earphones?
She needs headphones, Rob. Headphones?
Since when does she need headphones?
My
get
God,
her headphones,
look at
Robbie.
Those stockings you have on there.
Yeah.
You're actually dressed like a sex person today, you know?
I told you, those are the clothes that she had on the TV today.
Wow.
Oh.
You look good.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel great.
You do. You look... She's dressed sexier than she ever has on this show before.
Yeah, usually I come in and I look a little more, you know, but I had to run out of Fox Studios, and once I got the approval from Charlie, and I squeezed it in. I'm really good at squeezing.
Barely did.
Barely squeezed it. And he wouldn't shut up! The guy...
Oh, that guy ass man?
Yeah. Ass man was an ass.
I mean, he just kept talking and talking and talking, and before I knew it, he turned to the camera, and the interview was over, and so I got in.
You barely did.
I barely got it in.
But and technically, you lived up to your agreement.
I did, didn't
yes.
I? So
yes.
And I've missed you. It's been 2 years.
It's been two years.
Two long years.
I've been begging. I've been pleading.
Mm-hmm.
I even made you cake. I've done so many crazy
things
to get your attention.
And all we wanted you to do...
I was never going to do this.
All we wanted you to do all along was just apologizing.
Did you think that I was never going to do it?
No, of course we never thought you were going to.
You didn't think I was ever
going to. Are you wearing, like, sparkles on your body?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way,
yes.
Most of the time, Jeff just rolls me over and we do it.
Oh.
Are you aware already, even though...
You don't have to rip a lot of pages to turn me on, okay?
Just
a couple of times a month, if I hear that page being ripped, I'm there.
All right.
But most of the time, it just takes a little rolling.
Okay, there's the laugh. There she is, everybody.
And I know you've missed it.
Oh, we have. We actually recorded it one time, kept it on a continuous loop.
Until I was excommunicated.
Mm-hmm.
And then you retired my laugh, I bet, didn't you?
No, it would still every once in a while.
You would bring it out? Well,
we still have it.
If there was, like, if Buzz had a story in the news, for instance, this would be the setup. Buzz would say, a woman has gone on trial today in Salem, Oregon, accused of being a witch, and Buzz would have an actuality.
Right.
Then when Buzz would cue me to play the tape, I would play this. That's our tape of you laughing.
And that's your live.
That's the live version of the live.
And we also have a tape of you snorting. Here you are. That's you.
Did you put that on a loop? That's
over and over again.
That's it. We play again. We've played those throughout the time you've been away. And just, for various reasons, we've had those. Absolutely.
And then we have your telephone call when you called one day on the answering machine and just announced that you were just coming, even though we said we didn't want
Sister
you.
Corn again. Yeah. Just tell those guys I'm coming. The corn's coming. I'm coming. I'm coming to get him. I love him. Give him a big squeeze for me. The corn's coming.
Jesus.
That's all of it right there.
Man. Oh, my God.
See, so we've kept you in mind.
We have.
So how many guests have you had in the last 2 years that have sat in the hot seat here that have laughed as hard as I do at you guys?
None.
Okay, so.
None.
Okay, so.
None. And I'll give you this.
I tell you, I've just spent 10, I was in 10 cities. And I'm telling you, I'm going to give up radio because there's just no one that makes me laugh. I mean, you guys...
Oh, please, don't patronize us, okay?
It's so true.
Don't start by patronizing us.
There's so many people out there that don't get it. They just... I'm thinking of this might be my Millennium Farewell Tour.
As long as you are writing books about sex, and as long as you know that being on disc jockey shows will sell your books, you will continue to do it. You will never give it up.
You don't think?
How many disc jockeys, how many disc jockeys did you... thank in your new book?
You know what? It got me into trouble, so I got rid of it. Do you know that you guys are the only one? I think I still have you in the acknowledgement page. I mean, look what did you
of your new book?
Of the well, I never did this book. It all begins with a lick.
Is that a new book? What's it? Do you have a new book? That's your new book. All begins with a lick.
Books. I have. Yeah.
What's the one on TV? She's a factory. She's got two new books.
What's the one you had on TV today? We have to rip the pages.
Oh! That. Well, no. Actually,
is that the old one?
That's a new one. It's 237 intimate questions every woman should ask a man.
Yeah, pass that one
over. And 99% of the pages in here are not sealed.
Oh, pass it over.
All right. There's only 15 sealed envelopes in the back. Mm. But this one I never did because this is a year old. And this is like the hottest one I've ever done.
What is that book?
This is where, you didn't see this where you didn't see what I said here about you?
Hey, we just found another tape of Laura laughing. You want to hear another one?
Yeah.
That's not augmented by any machinery.
No, that's real. It's just repeat. We just edit it.
All right, so what did you write about us in this book?
You didn't read this?
No, pass it over.
You're the only radio team that actually made the first page an acknowledgement.
Okay.
I thought you read this.
The first page of 5,400 pages.
No. There's one page of acknowledgement.
What book is this?
This is the
new one.
52 invitations to great sex.
Okay. We've never done this before.
You haven't been here talking about that because you were banished.
I know. I was banished. No, read the paragraph. No, it's right there. See there.
Oh, no. Hold on. Okay. Now, let me just say, we have seen this one. I'll mention this. Hold on. On the first page, there are acknowledgments. And there's, a bunch of people that are publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, to your credit...
Thank you.
...that we are mentioned here. It says, Don and Mike, radio gods who are on the air in a zillion markets now. They dared me to mention them on the Barbara Walters show. But gosh, guys, it somehow got cut out. Yes, that's right. I raved about you to all of America, but it ended up on the editing room floor.
I
made the studio audience get up and chant your names. Barbara herself did the Don Mike dance with me.
All right.
But sadly, it never made it on the air.
Get a shovel.
I'm sorry for my screw up. I really miss you guys.
Right. Okay. So, okay, now no one else got
But wait.
What?
Then you go to the next page.
Is that when she's got, like, the breakfast flakes and every other goddamn show in the country?
This is where, just let me point out some of the names. Jeff and Jer and Tommy, Kid, Brother, Cindy and Charlie.
Here we go.
Jonathan, Carol, Tom and Mark and Mike, Mark and Brian and Frank, Don and Mike and Rob. See, we're mentioning here. Jim and Scott and Bob and Chris and Pepper, Connie and Scott and Todd and Naomi, Lamont and Tonelli, Bob and Tom and Jean, Ron and Ron and Denise, Steve and DC and Courtney, Eddie Fingers, Bob and Jimmy the Weasel, Jeff, Mark, Charlie and Ty, Shelley, Dana, Kim and Mike, Troy and Rocky and Danger Boy, Kent and Allen and Lenny and Rennie, Jennifer, Mike and Tyler, Chris and Beth and Kevin, Bobby and Foodie, Peter and Tracy. I have only read the first three sentences.
Oh, come on, Laura.
I mean, but in the next one, I did another edition of this book, which I didn't bring. I got rid of all those people. They're no longer in any of my books because Bob and Danger Boy and Eddie Fingers were pissed that I put Sally and Mally ahead of them.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, I can't win.
Okay, good. All good. Right? That's good that you should know that.
I got rid of all it. So the only radio people that are in this book now are you,
really?
Don and Mike.
And you could produce evidence to support that?
You know what?
Miss Barbara Walters did the Don and Mike dance. You can show us something that would...
really?
You knew I was lying.
Sure.
You saw the show.
But now we don't know if you're lying about this in your new book.
No,
I'm
not lying because
printing.
It got me in so much trouble.
Are there any dirty pictures in any of the stuff you brought? Any dirty pictures at all? Is that a dirty picture over here?
What? Is that? Oh, yeah. You know, I got pictures in this book.
Are they drawings? Drawings or photographs?
No, they're really photographs, but they're not of me. But I have a picture on my website
that
of me now.
That could be a Lever 2000 ad.
Well, no. I have a picture on my website now of me right after I've had sex.
Really? Are you naked?
No, actually, it's just a
What's the website? Buzzy, pull it up.
But the only reason why I have a contest going on that I'm looking for people that right after they make love, they take a picture of themselves.
Oh, yuck.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, listen, guys. I'm trying to get you more sex, more often. And here's what my theory is. I think women, when does a woman's face look the most beautiful to you, guys?
When you are putting a flower on her casket.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a stupid question. I think women look very pretty sometimes when they're sleeping. Here she goes.
And I look good when they're sleeping.
As the oxygen is slowly being taken out of the room right now.
When they're sleeping, the
eternal sleep of the dead.
No. Right. Here's when, for instance.
Can I say what? You guys, have you been on some sort of zone diet? You both have lost.
Yes, we have. But stop the patronizing.
But you look good. I wanted to say that. You look so
Where good. Does a woman's when does a Where woman's does... face look best? When it's in my lap.
Okay. Well, you can't see it though.
If what's happening is what you want to happen.
Right.
Unless
she's giving you like some skull.
Oh, right.
You know? Like the back of her head. The friction treatment.
Jesus.
I don't know. Why do you ask this stupid questions like this?
Well,
when does a woman's face look?
Well, no, I'm asking.
You ask it in that way that says, and you're going to answer with the answer that I know you're going to say.
Yes, and that is the fact that I think a woman looks the most beautiful is right after she's had sex because there's something that's coming from the inside and she's glowing. We've already heard of the afterglow, right?
What is your website? I want Buzz to pull it up.
The point is, it's Great Sex with three R's.
Great sex. Dead sexy. You got to look at your beautiful face with your dick right after I did you. That's when you looked the most beautiful. Great sex.
Dead sexy.
Dead sexy.
Guys. Wait a minute, but here's the thing.
You took a picture of yourself after you had sex.
Yes, but I did it for a good reason. Okay, so you know it's hard for women to get in the mood. We've heard it a million times, right? Okay, so how do you build desire? So I figured I would try to get women to appeal to their vanity. If I could prove to them through a series of pictures of what women look like after they make love, they would want to do it more often.
Really? Well, let me see this picture
this
of you.
This is my Buzzy, theory. And Buzzy, I think it's a great thing.
I have it up. Laura, is this you sitting on the, is that a ball or a balloon?
Yeah, I call that the sex ball.
She has her legs widely spread. She sits on a large ball or balloon.
Print that out, Buzz.
It's not a cheesecake shot.
Print it. Bring it right in here, Buzz.
Print it.
And she looks like a lot like Barbara Eden.
Father Time, just print it. Don't describe it. Print
that's
it.
Not the picture. Oh. Even though I did have sex before I did that
picture.
Are you going
for a, now you said you've come here before, you've like been wearing jeans and like a sweater. Are you going for a sexier image now in general? Do you, are you dressing sexy like this going on shows more often now? Are you changing the Laura the Corn image? A little bit.
Well, what is the image? Because
when you've been here before, you've kind of been
very casual.
You look like you just came off the horse farm. You know what I mean? You were kind of dressed in jeans and you had a sweater.
Which look do you like best?
Oh, I like this look there.
I do.
Oh, great.
Yeah, all fixed up.
Have you changed the way you look when you go on TV shows also?
Well, usually I get dressed up for that.
Okay.
You've ever seen any of my
radio
TV
shows?
The ones that, you know, where I didn't say, I'm sorry, Don and Mike? Because
mm-hmm.
I've probably done about 25 of them.
Okay.
But let's not
talk about
it.
So you've had like 25 opportunities to apologize to us.
I'm just kidding you. Mm-hmm. No, actually.
We're going to touch on that incidentally about the fact that you go on a lot of these TV shows and you will be going on TV shows. Because
especially because Valentine's Day. All these shows are going to have you on now because you're
expert. You know what? Can I be honest with you? Most TV shows, and this is what the problem is, are taped. So if you do something like that, you can never be sure. Probably they would edit it out.
No, that's why if you say it right as soon as you come out.
Sure.
As soon as you sit down and you shake Rosie O'Donnell's hand, you say, hi, Rosie. I'm sorry, Don and Mike.
Because there are two words that come to mind regarding your apology today on Fox, and those words would be woefully inadequate.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
But wait a minute. I'm sitting here.
Right.
So technically.
This time.
We do require.
Yeah,
you can't.
We do require.
Remember
a little more.
Wait. No, I'm not going to do this. I'll tell you why. What was the deal? We went over this on the phone.
Five words.
I'm sorry, Don and Mike. You could hear it.
All right,
loud
let's listen
and clear.
To it again.
Just because the guy's talking, you didn't say Laura. You had to do it at the top.
All right, let's hear Laura with the ass man on Fox News.
I think we should let the audience.
Most like to hear his wife say, you know what?
What is it?
It's not necessarily a sentence. Some things you have to say without words.
Okay, I'm sorry, Don and Mike.
Straight ahead on Fox News Live, how to protect your kid.
Loud and clear, guys.
All right.
You can't
technically, you're right. Technically, you're right.
Technically, I am right. You didn't say I had any.
But if you had any honor.
Yes.
If you had any honor. Maybe you would just toss us a bone the next time you go on a big show.
Bully. It shouldn't be
like it has been for the last 2 years.
No, it will not be. It will not be a demand.
Okay.
It'll be a request.
Okay.
It'd be something that you could do as perhaps a friend.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
My husband's a very important man. Very busy at the office. Can't do without him. I'm very grateful he's giving me this much time.
Come on over.
Time. You pull that picture up yet?
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, is there a picture and there's a dot over the guy's face?
No, all I see is you looking like Barbara Eden sitting on the large ball.
Okay, that is not the picture that I had, like, moments after I had sex.
Of course.
If you go to the contest, which I have a contest on my website.
Get in on the Great Afterglow Getaway? Would that be
it.
The one?
You could be,
all right.
If you get off, you could be getting away.
This is a woman that has been around DJs way too much. Get in on the Great Afterglow Getaway.
But wait a minute, I've given two trips away to two lucky couples.
Really?
To Cabo San Lucas.
Oh.
But this is a little bit different. And now, as you look around your house, don't you have a lot of pictures of you guys with your wife doing things, going on vacations, lots of pictures of you and your wife doing stuff, yes? No, but I'm asking you. I'm asking you, don't you?
I have lots of pictures of my kids around the house. I really do. Lots of pictures of my kids.
Okay, but not of you and your wife.
I have pictures.
Doing romantic
things. I have pictures of my wife, but they're like pictures where we're taken on vacation, where I'm taking the picture. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Or she's in the picture.
Right.
Okay. I'm not in the picture.
But you never hand your camera to someone and say, take a picture of us?
No.
Oh, well.
In the house, like in the house where people would see, there would be 9 or 10 photographs on the walls and on the mantle, and most of them are of our kids. There's one of, like, my wife and I with our first daughter, and it's opposed. You know, one of
we have one of those too. You know, like grew up with us and our son. And Buzz, what am I supposed to do with this?
What is that?
It's such a father time.
What did he give you?
Well, he gave me what looks like the cover page.
I printed the first one. Yeah, that was already in the printer queue.
Well, I don't need this one.
Well,
he gave me the one that says click here.
I know, but I thought it would hold you until the other one came.
After Glow Getaway, no.
Yeah, because I want to prove to you how incredible.
So what's
I
the
look.
Point about the picture?
Well, I just want to prove
take a picture
women.
Of my wife after we have sex.
Well, I think it's a great shot. I mean, so when do you feel closer to your wife? When do you feel the closest to your wife?
Right before sex.
Okay, right.
Thank you, Buzz.
Yeah, okay. Really?
Threw that one at you. Deal with that one. No, I mean,
no, I mean, be honest. When you make love, I mean, is there any time that you feel could possibly
No, you're right.
Closer?
Yeah, you're probably right. That you're immediately after sex, you
not,
have that bond.
Right, and I'm not talking about cheesecake.
Not me.
Shots.
I get hungry. I want to turn TV on.
Uh-huh, but
right
just
after sex.
Just a moment afterwards, don't
That's
you
what I'm talking about. A moment after sex.
Like,
all right, here's,
like a half a second.
Is that the picture?
Wait a minute.
Is this the picture of you after you had sex? Take a look. Buzz just printed that out. Is
no.
That it?
What's this picture? I didn't even know this was on my website.
Do you want to go over there and help Buzz with the computer?
Perhaps you should.
Why don't you go over and help
We're
us?
We're playing Buzz's theme right
go
now.
Ahead.
Okay, but while I go in there, you know, a trip to the Don and Mike show would be totally incomplete if we didn't get a man and a woman who's listening
God,
right now
oh
to have
God,
a little sex.
Geez.
All right, and I've got a great new technique. And I should have a shameless plug here, but did you know that 101 Nights of Great Sex has been the number one sex book in America for 2 years?
Okay, go find Buzz the
and
We're not going to...
called Penalingus.
This isn't Fox. We're not going to like...
What
come on,
that?
come on.
You're going to be able to come back in here. Just go over with Buzz.
Go help Buzz.
For goodness sake. Jesus. I just want to see her crawling around in Buzz's studio for a second.
There she is.
There she is.
The
Barnes
is
coming. Took me back to the same place.
There she is.
Oh. All right, take you back to the homepage. And whether you click here or here, what you get is that same picture that Don was just looking at.
If you
listen really carefully, you can hear that sound that's Buzz's computer. It sounds like chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
I clicked on that, Laura. That's the one that gave us the other picture.
Chitty, bang, bang.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'll do it again.
Laura, why don't you do
the
clicking?
Same result. Why don't you sit on Buzz's lap and do the clicking?
Laura?
Hey, yeah.
Why don't you sit on Buzz's lap and do the clicking yourself?
There you go. He wouldn't mind. He's very safe, very happily married.
He's going to go over to the picture.
Mm-hmm. Same one again.
All right, so scroll down.
Here's the sound of Buzz's computer, Mike.
Wait, there it is.
That's
I'm there. See, now, because my boyfriend is very shy, he would not allow me to show his face in this picture, so I put a little dot over his face.
That's Kipadada, right, your boyfriend?
But tell me I don't look like I am the happiest woman on this earth. Look at that picture, Buzz.
You look happy.
And that is right. And this is what I want women to notice, how beautiful. So when they're
okay,
not
Laura,
in the mood and they're turning you down.
Print that out for us.
Okay.
It's printing now.
Okay, but you're not going to get this glow on that terrible
no,
print.
No, it's a horrible black
no,
and white printer.
No, you're not going to get it.
We have the first class facilities to duplicate any picture off the net.
I'd like to see at least.
There you go.
Yeah, just bring it over anyway.
Oh, well, this is good.
There we go.
Okay.
Buzz. I just like seeing her in your studio. That was fun.
The print is on its way.
Very good.
You know,
now she's going to bring in the glowing photograph.
Oh, it's glowing.
You ever had a Muslim boyfriend? His name would. You ever had a Muslim boyfriend? His name would be Kareem Korn. Well, now this is not a bad print.
Oh, it's not. But it looks.
There she is. This is. She's just had sex.
But it's a. It's not a cheesy shot. I don't want cheesy
shots. Oh yeah.
I just want a head shot. But I'm telling
you. Who are you?
But I'm telling you, if women knew how beautiful they looked, and if they had more sex in their life, they feel better, and that's a great reason why to have sex.
So that's why you asked us if we have pictures of our wives in our house?
Well, no, but I mean, you
Let
should
me see
have.
What I've got. You want us to take pictures of our wives after sex and put them on the walls of our home
next to the pictures of our children
where our friends can see them?
But nobody's going to know that's what that picture represents. Only the two of you will, right?
Whatever.
She's not
you
naked.
Know, I just would like to point out that you keep mentioning boyfriend.
Weren't you married?
I've been with him for 9 years. Yes,
why? Well, why are you going to be married?
I don't want to. I like living. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell thing. I mean, we have a great relationship.
You have a problem with commitment?
Maybe.
Now, why wouldn't you take a picture of your boyfriend? Aren't men beautiful after sex?
I did, but he would not allow his face
on
the web.
Hey, I got a question. Wait a minute.
He
There's you
allow.
And there's him. Who took the picture? You taking it in a mirror or what?
No, the timer.
Oh, the timer?
Yes,
the timer.
Yes. Mm, sure.
How'd you work it out? How'd you work it out that the timer went off right after you got done having sex?
Well, we did. What happened is I got up, I put something on real quick.
Okay.
We went upstairs, we got into a better room with better light. Mm-hmm. We sat in the chair. This was maybe 5 minutes after we made love.
Oh, see, what 5 minutes. You're probably still in that glow, but the guy, he's lying to you. He's already thinking about what he's going to watch.
I don't care about him. I'm trying to get women to see why it's best to have more sex.
Mm-hmm.
Quantity, not quality.
What kind of sex had you just had there? What kind?
Oh, it was one of the seductions. I'm sorry, I had to rip out a sealed envelope.
Did?
Oh, well, I mean, I did one of the, you know, more elaborate where I got probably had lingerie on, and I'm trying to remember, actually, but I know it lasted more than 5 minutes.
Oh, did you squeeze his genitals?
I'm reading that.
I am reading from her new book.
Squeezing?
It's called Squeezing the Genitals.
Another interesting way.
No, this isn't Laura. This is, read it, this is, comes from a best-selling book.
What part? The twig or the berries?
At the very top of, I have paragraphs from best-selling books.
From the guide to getting it on.
Yeah, this is from another book.
Another interesting way of enjoying intercourse without thrusting is to play Squeezing Genitals.
Oh my God.
It is based upon the anatomical fact that when the male squeezes or contracts his erect anus, it momentarily changes diameter, and when the woman squeezes her vagina vein,
I slipped there for
it hugs the anus pay, sometimes rather snugly and with memorable results. To play Squeezing Genitals, partners alternate squeezing their genitals.
Okay. All right.
Have you ever squeezed genitals?
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Yeah.
Feels good.
I don't know why. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Let's move by that. Yes, I have.
Now, wait a minute. Now, which one are we going to talk about? Because the invitation book is something. Well, I mean, which one
you
do you
came
want
in with 800 goddamn books. Which one do you want to promote
tonight? Well, they're all so good. The 101 Nights of Great Sex Millennium Edition.
Yeah, they're all so good. Which one do you want to promote?
How many books seriously do you have here today?
Why, since you play Letterman, all right, this is a shameless plug, but a year ago...
Did you have sex with David Letterman?
Yeah. Did he squeeze his genitals? Nice to see you. Hi, it's Dave Letterman.
I want to say I'm a loopy for the squeezed genitals.
Yeah. Paul, I'll tell you right now, I'm squeezing my genitals.
Wow. Nice to see you.
Oh, man, my squeezed genitals.
Wow.
Yeah. No, actually, Heather Locklear, I figured you probably maybe would have seen the plug. It was on Talk Soup and all this clip of Heather Locklear talking to David Letterman about, so he goes, so what have you been doing lately? And Heather goes, well, and she turns to the audience and she goes, I've got this great book. It's called 101 Nights of Great Sex, and I'm doing the Velvet Tongue.
Oh, you always talk about the Velvet Tongue.
This was unsolicited that Heather Locklear gave you this plug?
David, and she turns to the audience, she goes, have you heard of this book? And the whole audience, and I can get it on a track if you don't believe me. I've actually got it on my reel. And they started, you know, the whole audience is just...
Well, the audience at Letterman is like trained seals.
Pretty cool that Heather Locklear is reading your book
and
doing it.
She gave me a pretty good plug on the Velvet Tongue.
That's
and
good.
I didn't solicit and, you know...
That's cool.
And
did you ever contact her afterwards?
Yes, I sent her all my books. I haven't heard from her, I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the View girls gave Sharon Stone my 101 Nights of Great Romance to her on the View. Which I thought was kind of cool.
Could you picture having sex?
Dig this. See, you're still kind of resisting the whole, you know, surprises and
yes,
techniques
absolutely.
And
correct.
Everything. And,
right.
But you know why it works.
Well, I just like having sex with my wife. I don't want to play Private Eye before I have sex with my wife, okay? I just want to come home, have sex with my wife, and watch television.
Okay.
That's it.
But how often do you get the opportunity to do that?
A lot.
Really?
A lot. We do it all the time, honey.
Oh, that's great.
We do it all the time.
You know that the average American only has sex 52 times a year?
Really?
And that if you increase it, if you double it, then your real age, let's say you're 40, who's 40, 41?
I'm 41.
Then you would be actually 39 years old, your real age. And if you have sex 5 times a week, Your real age is actually 8 years younger.
Does masturbation count?
You know, I looked that up and I couldn't find it, but I think it would be.
If that's the case, I'm 16.
I haven't been born yet. I'm still in the womb.
But isn't that, that's really good information, I think, you know? And that's another reason why women should have more sex.
Yes.
With their partners.
With their partners.
With their partners,
yes. But, you don't want them just running out and humping everybody that comes along.
No. But can I pitch a number here?
Yes.
Of course. You pitched the bookmobile. You might as well pitch your number.
What is your number, Laura?
It's 1-800-611-BONK. B-O-N-K.
Oh, I remember that. Right.
And you can get all my books. I've got some good deals going on. I've got gift wrapping and Valentine's Day.
Your entire empire, how many dollars worth of books, tapes, whole thing?
That have sold?
Yes, total.
What's your nut?
Over a million.
Over a million.
So you've sold over a million
books.
And
actually, I will tell you that
you've sold over a million books?
Oh, absolutely. My company, especially 101 Nights of Great Sex, is really what's called a publishing phenomenon.
I'd like to point out that our books cost like $34.95 each.
No. That's the deluxe.
$52.
All of them cost $29.95.
So let's say $30.
Except for the intimate question.
Okay, well, let's round it off to $25.
We're talking about a $25 million empire here.
But you see the production of this book is phenomenal. I mean, all the pages are sealed.
Hey, we don't begrudge you. You are one rich lady.
The books speak for themselves. If you go on Amazon.com, if you do any research at all, you'll see that people really dig it. And so I've hit a chord. People use the books. And so they tell a friend. And they tell a friend. And
what are you doing?
But here's what I mean. I'm going to tell you why.
No, this is very important.
No, listen.
Yes.
There's no way you can double in sales. 101 Nights of Great Sex has been out for 5 years. Now, I have a Millennium Edition, all right?
Yes. Every year.
Yeah, it's like
the
Monopoly.
Book doubles. Doubles in sales.
Right. Okay.
All right? Which is incredibly unusual.
Let me turn the spotlight on you for a second. What, besides constantly having sex with your partner, with this empire that you have, what do you do to spend some of your fortune?
Your millions.
That you've made off of these books. I mean, do you have any, like, rich person hobbies? Do you fox hunt?
What kind of car do you drive?
A Jag.
Oh, of course a Jag.
Oh,
a Jag.
What do you say?
Is it a convertible? Is it a Jag convertible?
Yeah. Of course it is. What color is it? Come on, what color is it?
Does it have a horn that goes, dee, 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 dee? Oh, here comes Laura Korn.
No. Come on,
guys. You don't have a license plate that says, like, sex for you, do you?
No.
Where do you live? Do you live in Manhattan?
No, I live in Santa Monica, California.
Santa Monica.
But I will tell you
waterfront property?
Beach property.
Well, I sit on top of a hill. I mean, I've been looking for a house, and I have not bought a house. I own my own condo.
What is your net worth?
Oh, guys, come on.
We're just fascinated I think we're giving our audience an idea of what a sexpert means to this country, and you know, what a sexpert is all
about.
What
is your net worth? 10 mil?
Oh, no. Oh,
you're going to cash out today?
No, you know why? Because all the money that you make, publishing, there's very small margins in bookstores. Very small margins. Really, this is why so many small publishers... No, there are.
Please.
So I have most of my money invested. And so I'm looking at retirement in
what, 5 minutes?
I'll
make it easy for you.
Okay.
If you chose to, could you just say, see ya right now and be
of course you could.
Yeah,
books cost goddamn $30 each. Sure. You sold a million of them.
Yeah.
Wow, it's but lucrative being a sex expert.
But I have a what it costs to run a company. It's
well, no wonder you don't want to get married. And do you have
don't want that guy taking half your money?
Oh no, it's okay because he made it with me.
Oh, really?
No, it's okay.
Well, I don't see his name on these books.
Yeah, it is. Jeff is in all the books. He's the love of my life.
At Laura Korn Enterprises, do you have a bunch of guys who look like the Chippendales walking around answering your phones and stuff like that?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I have mostly women working.
Mostly women?
Yeah.
Any hotties?
And yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you're rich.
Well, no. I mean, what's rich? Tell me what you think is rich, and I'll tell you if that's what.
Tell me how much money you have, and I'll tell you that's rich.
No, I'm not going to tell you that. You just tell me what you consider rich.
I would say
a net worth. In today's world, I'm not rich at all.
A net worth of over $5 million would be rich.
No, I don't have nothing. I'm no way.
Really?
No way.
Okay. Even though you have a Jag and you have a beachfront property.
So people have a Jag and they're worth $5 million?
How much does that suit you have cost?
I want to talk sex.
No, I want to talk about you.
I want to talk seduction.
We haven't had you on the show for a while. We can ask questions.
We like hearing about you.
I don't have $5 million.
How much did you pay for that suit?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Stand up. May I look at the suit? Would you turn around, please?
Well,
get up on the... Thank you.
Don't fall. Be careful.
Would you turn around, please?
She looks very good in that suit.
Uh-huh. I just wanted to look at you. That's all.
I will give you a compliment. You look wonderful today. You really do. You look very, very nice today.
Great. Thank you.
I would ask the maid.
You do. You look good.
Yes.
Where'd you get that? The Gap?
What?
That outfit. I would estimate that you spent $800 on that suit.
Probably close.
See?
Yeah, so she's rich.
Right, you're rich.
Well, no, okay, let me ask you. What is your net worth?
My worth less than yours.
You guys make a lot of money.
A lot less than yours. And this shirt I'm wearing right now, I'll tell you right now. Guess how much? $21. Men's Warehouse.
But you have probably a big home, both of you, don't you?
No, we don't.
No.
We live in shacks.
No, you don't.
No, I actually live, and I have for years, and it's documented in Washingtonian Magazine when they did... residences of different people. There's a photograph of
a trailer.
Of a trailer that I live
Listen,
in.
Listen, the point is...
A trailer.
Well, when you were...
Mike and I have never sold a million of anything, okay? We sold a million books.
God knows we've tried.
$30
each.
We have tried. All right, but listen, if you want to talk about sex, we'll talk about sex.
Okay.
I'm going to give you one more break.
Okay.
I'm going to get you the hell out of here. And what radio station are you going to next? What's your next city?
Dallas, Dr. Tony Grant.
Dr. Tony Grant. Is she a lesbian?
I think I may have
heard that she's a lesbian.
No.
T-O-N-I? It's a girl, right?
No, T-O-N-I. Yeah. Yes.
Didn't we meet her at a convention one time?
I think so.
She's a big hawk-like woman.
They got her up against Dr. Laura in all the markets.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
She's written a couple of great books, and I think she's great. No, she's not a lesbian. She's
you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I'm going next, Dallas.
I only have
on the West Coast.
I thought you were giving up disc jockeys.
No, it's just that you know, very, you don't meet very many people who are as talented as you are.
Oh.
It's true. I'm telling you,
okay.
It's so
okay.
True.
Oh,
no, you think I'm kissing your butt, and
no,
I am,
come on,
but
listen,
I really...
There's no need for this.
Can we hear
the snort again, the graphic inhale? There you go.
Right, okay, listen.
Because I have a ton of questions I want to ask you and your audience. And,
okay,
and
everybody, if you want to talk to Laura Korn, I'm going to give her about 5 more minutes. The telephone number
is... Oh, you're bad!
1-877-365-3636. Now, you want to talk to women about sex?
No, guys are women. It doesn't. Are we going to get a couple to try one of these?
We're probably not going to be able to play your like charade that you want to do.
No, we'll let you talk to some people. Okay? We'll let you take some telephone calls.
Terrible.
Okay? All right, and maybe you apologize to us on a better channel. Maybe you can do your, your play
so
game.
You were men of your word.
Are you here?
You're here.
I am here.
What is your phone number to buy your books?
Okay, but I haven't even talked about it. 1-800-611-BONK. I've got a new one, and it's really cool.
1-800-611-BONK.
B-O-N-K.
Okay. Time out. We will be right back with more with Laura Korn.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
I wish we were really big, like Dylan and Stones. What do you mean big? We're as big as anyone. We have a hit show on CBS. Why can't you see that?
Program, the best of Don and Mike.
I want to tell everybody the story of Laura Korn, the poor little rich girl who's concerned that no one...
Wait, can I tell you something?
She's concerned no one will buy her books because she's rich.
No, can I tell you something?
First thing she said to me as soon as we went to break, why are we talking about my money? I want to talk about sex. I said, because we're interested in how successful you are. I said,
sure.
Don't be afraid of success. She said, no one will buy my book if they think I'm rich.
Oh, of course they will. That's more reason that they would buy your book.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
10 years ago, true story, I'm homeless. I was homeless for 8 months. This is no bullshit.
Okay. We have to have the delay there.
Hold on, you can't say S-H-I.
God, you are serious about that. Veteran of so many radio shows.
You know I'm a dirty girl.
Yes, dirty birdie.
Wait a minute, but I was homeless less than 10 years ago. I slept on... I don't know how many couches for almost 8 months. I slept in my car, and I was destitute. And I did not give up my dream of being a writer, and I ended up going to the library. I spent all my days in the library because I was homeless.
Don't be ashamed of the fact that you drive a Jag.
I'm not, and so I
don't
you know,
be ashamed
I feel
of the
like...
fact you have beachfront property in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
people
I'm not.
will buy your book anyway.
I know, but I mean, I'm just a regular person.
People will buy your book regardless.
Because it's good.
Because, people love sex.
Yes, they do.
All right. Yeah, you want to take your phone calls.
Okay, I do. But, you know, for those people, because I haven't been on for 2 years, they don't know my books. They're not books that you read. Shall we describe the books? Because they're very unusual.
They're arts and crafts books.
They're like,
you peel stuff out and you open pages and then there are instructions in there.
Like going to the Renaissance Festival.
Have sex, right.
Yes, there's pages like The Velvet Tongue and Up Against the Wall. And
The Velvet Tongue, for those of you that might not have heard of Laura Korn before this, that's your biggie.
That's the Velvet Tongue
is an oral sex technique.
Yes.
That
women do to men and then men can do back to women.
Claim to fame.
It is. I'm telling you, I've sold more books on the Velvet Tongue than anything else.
There you go.
And the pages are sealed and there's some for his eyes only, some for her eyes only. And whenever you want to add a little anticipation, he rips out a sealed envelope.
She's in turbo sell mode right now.
This is not the home shopping network. Settle down a little bit.
You know, I bombed on that home shopping network.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're probably too much of a dirty birdie for them, right?
No. I just, you know, because sometimes TV makes me, you know.
You sell a hell of a lot of books when you come on this show, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I've done really good. But usually people are having sex when I come on here. And come on.
Why do you like the same thing every time?
She likes
setting up this thing where she gives the husband and the wife, they put on pirate hats and they make love during a commercial set and then they come on and say how great it was.
Here, I'll give you a classic softball question, all right? You'll love this question. If somebody had never heard of Laura Korn, never bought one of your books, what would be the first book that you would recommend for them? To start out with the...
101 Nights of Great Sex. Because it's
101 Nights of Great Sex, and it's each night where you rip out a page?
No, once a week.
Once a week,
once a month. Can I tell you, most people do the book once a month.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on Amazon.com, you'll read... I mean, that's what people do, because people are busy. They don't have a lot of time. And so they rip out... The guy rips out a sealed envelope.
I told you it was a softball question.
I know.
And then you surprise each other.
Did you have great sex when you were home? Homeless.
No, I had no boyfriend. I never had an orgasm with a man until 9 years ago. I was frigid.
Really?
Absolutely.
What the hell
frigid.
Happened?
Actually, Marilyn Monroe saved my life.
Marilyn Monroe?
You are so California.
How Marilyn Monroe saved my life?
How did Marilyn Monroe save your life?
She's dead, honey. Dead, honey.
Were you sleeping out of the cemetery or what?
I mean, how did she save your life? Please, tell me, Candle in the Wind.
Happy birthday.
How did Marilyn Monroe save your life?
Because it's going to take... Well, the truth is that...
Tell it to me in 10 seconds.
Oh, I can't do it. There's no way.
Okay, yes, you can. It's a challenge.
No, I can't. Okay, here's the thing. How do most women learn how to masturbate? This is why I was frigid. Come on, guys.
How do they learn?
Oh, God.
With their hands?
They explore themselves.
Yes, but they usually do. Actually, they don't. They rub up against something on their stomach. Most women take sheets or a pillow. Yes, up against Barbie, Ken, the pillow.
Bicycle seat.
Yes, they rub up. They rub up against something on their stomach. And so that's the only way I can have an orgasm.
So you had sex with a Barbie doll?
You rubbed up against Marilyn Monroe?
I wish.
Now, wait a minute. When you say that girls have...
Wait a minute. I'm trying to get to it. I told you I couldn't do it in 10 seconds.
All right. So
I get together with guys, and if you're rubbing up against a sheet, which is what usually a pillow, it's not the same friction as when you get with a guy. So you don't have orgasms. So I didn't. I mean, in and out is not the same as rubbing up against a pillow.
Okay.
So I thought something was wrong with me.
Why would you just use your hand?
Well, where's Marilyn Monroe in
this? Well, wait a minute. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to tell you what she was famous for in the bedroom. I dated a high political figure when I was in my early 20s.
Strom Thurmond.
JFK.
Jesse Helms.
Who told me a story of what she was famous for in the bedroom. What he did.
What?
What she did to him.
Laura Korn.
Okay, so at that time, I didn't have the balls to do this technique.
That was great sex, Laura. I'll tell you, best I've ever had, or I'm not Dick Nixon.
Why didn't you just use your hands?
Because I was too embarrassed. I thought something was wrong with me. I thought the man sticks his penis in and I'm supposed to have an orgasm.
Oh.
I was ignorant, too.
Good God.
Okay? But no, this is true.
You love talking dirty.
Okay, so fast forward, I could never have an orgasm with a guy. I was kind of frigid for other reasons, too. And so I thought something was wrong with
me.
Was
it mental?
Was
it a mental thing?
Yeah. And so guys left me. They all left me because I couldn't have an orgasm and I didn't know what the hell was.
And you weren't interested in
no,
sex?
No, no.
Okay.
So fast forward, I meet Jeff, my significant partner, and we're lying in bed one morning, and I could feel him starting to slip away, and I thought he was going to leave me. And
not physically slip away. Is he, like, falling out of the bed?
I mean, no, had you just had sex?
What
do you mean? You didn't feel close to him emotionally?
Well, no, I could see him start, because he was losing interest.
Okay.
Because I was, you know, not having orgasms.
All
that's
right.
The most important thing to a guy. He wants to know he's pleasing the woman, right?
Says you.
Yeah, we've had that discussion before.
Come on.
Guys don't care about that. So I was there one morning, and all of a sudden, that image of Marilyn Monroe and what she was famous for.
What was she famous for?
So this is what she did. And it's actually a seduction in the book called I Think I Made His Back Feel Better.
Oh, I know this. Because you talked about this one time before.
And so what happened was, I climbed on Jeff's back.
Do you remember this?
On his stomach.
No.
He was laying on his stomach.
You tell us this before she... Okay.
She does the bump and grind on his back.
Right, on his back, which mirrors how I got myself off. I climbed on Jeff's back. I started to moan and groan and move my hips and had my very first orgasm with a man.
On his back.
On his back.
And that was like a breakthrough.
Bareback.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy for the guy, too. Not a lot of work for her.
You just got to just lay there.
That's right.
On your stomach.
Yeah. And it's very arousing to have a woman on your back masturbating.
I'm not sure about that.
But you don't think so?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
You've never had a woman do it?
I think it would be a good activity. It would be an activity I could tolerate after the act. You know what I mean? If a woman wanted to do that. You know, it's not going to bother me.
Right. But
Maybe it will, though.
I will tell you this. I have found a way to even make that seduction even better. And it's the new book, 52 Imitations to Great Sex, called The Velvet Massage.
You see, what she does is she takes guys and she reduces the guy's role in sex like the Weekend at Bernie's.
Absolutely.
You know when there was just a dead guy?
Which isn't a bad thing, in my opinion.
Because all she really wants is a guy to lay on his stomach.
Sure.
She will, you know, on his back.
Right.
Then she gets done, and what does she need the guy for?
I like that, though, because, you know, the less that a guy has to be responsible for, the better.
Yeah.
All right, Laura, listen.
Okay. We have some calls.
Here we go. Adam, his wife has never had an orgasm. Why, Adam?
Adam.
It's me.
Hi, Adam. You're on the air.
Hey, Adam.
This is the first thing I got to say, though. Don and Mike, you guys rock.
Right on.
I've seen you for a long time. Love it.
Okay, thank you. Don't need the bio, though. What do you want to talk to Laura about?
Okay. This is the deal. Been married almost 6 years. My wife has never had an orgasm. Never.
All right. She doesn't masturbate, correct?
No.
Okay, well, that's the reason why. If you don't know your own
body...
She's
too afraid to.
Okay, so I've got some advice for you. There is a company in San Francisco called Good Vibrations,
uh-huh.
And there's a video called Sex for One, and it teaches a woman how to masturbate. If she does not do this... because she's never going to have an orgasm. Now, I could give you some oral tricks.
Take your hand now. Welcome to How to Masturbate. This is an instructional video. Do you want
a lot of stuff and it just isn't working out.
But it's done by women and
maybe
she'll feel more.
My water out.
She'll feel comfortable watching this.
Step two, place your hand in the diagram marked B.
All right, goodbye. For goodness.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Adam. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, good morning. Hi, good afternoon.
Good evening.
Afternoon.
Hi,
good morning.
What's your name?
My name's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, and my question is, my husband and I have been together for 12 years.
Okay.
And we both work and have kids, and so usually by the time we get to bed...
In and out.
I'm exhausted. I don't want anything to do with it. And I've said no to him so often...
Yes.
...that now he doesn't...
Doesn't even try.
...as much. And I feel ridiculous almost trying to approach him.
Okay.
It's like I've forgotten how to...
Seduce him?
How to... Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a simple answer to that. You want to bring another woman into your bedroom.
That's your answer for almost everything.
Well, wait, can I ask you something? Because these guys are laughing, but the women really love the books. If you made love to your husband tonight, let's just say you actually did it. Could you predict what would happen in the bedroom? You could, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So there are no surprises.
Well, tell
correct?
Us, what would happen? I'm interested in hearing what would happen.
So there's no surprises.
First of all, it would be very late because we'd have to wait until the kids were all asleep.
Yes. Uh-huh. She lies back, closes her eyes, winces a little bit, and peeks out of one corner of her eye, and he's charging like bull.
But so do you don't make time for
each other? Do you have a camera in my
room? No, so you don't make time for each other, do you?
No.
What about on the weekends? You don't plan dates. You don't make the effort. Well, you know what? Why don't I send you a copy of one of my books? Oh, come on.
Plan dates.
So, would you like me to send you a copy of 101 Nights of Great Sex?
That would be great.
So you would get into bed with him, and you would go through the table of contents. You'd rip out a page. He'd rip out a page.
Okay.
So now you know he's got a surprise on the way.
All right, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
You know he's going to surprise you.
Okay. Another person helped on the Don and Mike show.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Well, I'm wondering, has she got any books on tape for blind people?
No, I don't.
Mm. All right, sorry.
Sorry, she doesn't care about blind people.
Hello, John and Mike show.
That's not
hello?
And I bet blind people really need instruction on masturbation.
But I guess that
they don't have a clue. You know what I mean? They can't see what they're doing. Jesus.
Yeah, but you know, they have really in touch with their touch, so they probably are master
masturbators.
Well,
I don't know.
I think they are master masturbators.
You know, I made a joke about when they, right after that guy, but what about that? I mean, is there any plan for doing something
no,
like
I'm
that?
No, I actually don't have a plan. But
really?
I do have a plan for writing 101 Nights of Getting Myself Off.
Mm-hmm. A masturbation book.
It's always hello. About you, isn't it?
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Me.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question for Laura.
Sure. Hi.
Hi, Laura. How you doing? Been married for about 4.5 years. Know how to handle the clitoris quite well.
Oh, are you a diddler?
Wow, congratulations.
I'm a diddler. I'm in search of the G-spot, though.
Oh,
I hear that's like the next step up.
Hey. Men's Health rated my incredible G-spot video one of the top three videos of 1998.
When did the commercial stop?
Well, he asked me. He's in search, so I'm going to send him. So you can become the G-man.
Wow.
You will be
the G-man. Roaring by the entire field.
Where's the G-man?
The treasure map.
Can I tell you something? The G-spot is in the same location on every woman.
All right.
I show you 7 different ways how to stimulate it. And
hello.
She's going to levitate off the bed.
Not in Mike's show.
Hey, like The Exorcist.
Hello.
Not in Mike.
Hi.
You guys rock.
Right on. Thank you.
Okay, here's the problem.
Here's what is
the problem?
It?
Married 8 years. And you know that guy Kathy, that girl Kathy called? I feel like I'm her husband, you know, where I've asked for sex so many times from my wife, and she turns me down just because hard work and tired, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I don't want to ask anymore. Now, we just had our 8-year anniversary. We were going to be celebrating this weekend.
Does she have a sister?
Yes.
Okay.
Call her sister.
Well, here's the deal.
Keep it in the family.
Let me ask you. Are you good with your fingers? Are you good with your tongue?
We're very good.
Are you the diddler? Are you the tongue man? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're very good with oral sex, but I think I'm just looking for the next step. And let me explain something to you. Don and Mike, she's, you know, the other woman to bed deal, that's not going to work. Okay, that's not going to happen, and I already know that. And, you know, as far as putting it in the bad spot, that's not going to work. I already know that.
Good for you.
We've never advocated that, have we?
I know you haven't. I know
no.
You do not advocate
that. Is an exit, not an entrance.
I agree.
Exactly.
But it never hurts to
Amen, Laura.
Okay. It never hurts to, you know, ask your wife, may we bring another woman to our bed?
Okay, that's not going to happen. She's not even comfortable watching the movies, okay? But we...
She what's the movies?
She's not even comfortable
She doesn't like watching the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
so
but
what's this guy's question?
I do.
My question is, what can I do to make it special for this 8-year anniversary? We have a room with a jacuzzi tub. We're going to have dinner, watch a movie.
Cool.
But, I mean, you know, besides the deal, I go to bed with her tonight, you know, you ask, can you predict what's going to happen? Yeah, well, you know, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then it's time for us both to finish up. And we go to sleep. So, I mean,
So what's the problem?
I want to mix it up.
Well, so wait a minute. So she already knows what the weekend is. She already knows about the room. So there's no surprises. You're not surprising her with anything.
Well,
that's the problem.
You give me a good tip. I want a surprise.
I've got a good one. Because you know how guys use flowers and stuff. Are you going to go to dinner?
Yes.
Okay. You get some flowers. What's her name? What's her first name? okay, let's say her name is Carol.
Carol.
Okay? So what you're going to do is you're going to have the flowers.
Carol.
I love you, Carol.
Carol.
Carol. Okay.
Carol.
You're going to have flowers. You're going to have flowers already at the restaurant on your table.
Okay.
So when she arrives, She sees these incredible flowers.
Yeah, that'll work.
The flowers are going to spell a message. I love you, Carol. I love you, Carol.
You mean like
very cool move.
Out on the table?
No, I love you, Carol. The I would be for an iris, the L, a lily, the O for an orchid. So you're going to spell a message. It's not going to be just roses. The message, please. The flowers have a message.
The plant has no chance of working.
Yes, it does. It's kick-ass.
What if he's going to like, what if he's going to the old country buffet, though?
So don't spell a message. Just have the flowers on the table.
Flowers are a nice touch, but I want a more exciting
sexual experience.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I listened to you, Laura, and you said something about...
oral?
Did you call it tunnelingus or penis?
Penilingus, but that's actually a technique...
I think that'll be our next expert, Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Okay, here's a great oral trick. I want you on the sly. Does she love receiving oral?
Yes.
She does.
Oh, well, I see you got that going for you. Okay. Which is nice.
Can I tell you what? I want you to do something for me. What are men putting down their pants in the morning to turn women on in the evening?
Oh, this is a riddle. I love a riddle.
Okay, what are men putting down their pants in the morning to turn their lady on in the evening?
Their wallets. I don't know.
What's the answer?
You really do. They blow their mind.
What is the answer?
I don't get that riddle.
It's not a riddle. It actually has an answer.
What's the answer?
Actually, it's baby powder.
Baby powder?
And the reason why, if you put a little baby powder on your testes, sir, she'll stay down there longer. And here's the reason why.
Oh, you're talking about a guy with smelly balls.
Well, no, I'm talking about the second most popular scent, according to women, is baby powder.
So you put baby powder down there.
Yes. Yeah, scent is, what is the number one female fetish? Female fetish, guys.
Sucking of the toes?
No, fetish.
Something a woman likes to do or likes done to her?
The scent.
No, yes, the man's scent.
Olfactory.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So you want to take care of that.
Really?
And here's what you want to do.
Really? Right,
this is the oral trick.
Okay, right? Here's the trick. Here we go.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, blindfold her. First. Will she go for that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's digging this. Can you hear the guy?
Yeah.
He's into it.
Yeah.
I need it.
All right.
Yeah. My blindfolder.
And so what you should do is fill out an invitation. Just write a little invitation and tell her to bring one blindfold to, what is it, February the 14th? Are you doing this for Valentine's?
We're doing it this weekend.
This weekend. Tell her to bring one blindfold to the event.
Okay.
Write it out on an invitation. That's going to get her curiosity going. And that's what my invitation book is all about.
Okay.
So now her juices are flowing.
Again, you could call it an invitation to the baby powder ball.
All right. Goodbye. She's giving you about a million tips.
Okay. Well, no. Wait. I want all guys.
Okay. So the invitation, the blindfold.
Okay. So she shows up, and you'd go through this yada yada. You blindfold her.
He puts the baby powder on his.
Yeah. Bag. Well, you're going to probably do her first, or is she going to do you first?
She always goes first. I mean.
She receives first,
receives first.
She receives first.
All right. Well, then make her do you first.
More relaxed.
Make her do you first, because always is never. She always. That's the reason why you're not getting more action. You got to revert. You got to be strong. You got to tell her to do you. Shut up, bitch, and do me.
Oh,
whoa.
Okay.
There's romance.
Hey, all right,
then what happens? So wrap this up. Then what happens?
Right. So no, you say, do me, bitch.
Wait. I mean, you got to be strong, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Women like that. They respect it. They dig it. That's the second most popular female fantasy, is a man in charge.
Okay, I got it. Baby powder,
blindfold. Yeah, exactly.
Look, God, this was, hey, shut up and do me, bitch. But
I've got baby powder on my ball.
Yeah,
wait, hold on. In one breath, you just told this guy to get flowers that say I love you, and then you're going to put baby powder in his crotch and say, do me, bitch.
Well, can the flowers say, do me, bitch?
Well,
all right, good day.
Good luck.
Goodbye. Daffodil and horse.
Well, you got to do it with... You know, what?
What? I don't know. What?
You got to do it with finesse.
Finesse.
You know what I'm saying. She needs to be just taken. That girl needs to be taken.
Take her. Right.
You know.
Make her yours.
Make her yours.
I put baby powder on my crotch. Now do me, bitch.
And other people out there, what great ideas. 1-800-611-BONK. Mm-hmm. That's right. 611-BONK.
B-O-N-K.
Okay.
Say your books.
You'll sell your books. Your books are all about sex.
They're books you do. Next time I come on, we got to go through the invitations. You didn't even read any of the invitations.
I know. That number you gave will give everybody all the information they require about buying your book.
Yeah, and you're on Amazon.com.
Amazon, all bookstores. I'm everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere there's sex.
It was nice seeing
there's
you again.
There's the corn. Little corn with corn.
Get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Laura Korn.
Orgasms am I responsible for in the United States?
Congratulations, Eve. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
It takes a long time to get her out of this studio.
Goodbye, Laura.
That's Laura Korn here. Would you like these?
Stand back. I don't know how big this thing is going to get.
All right, very good.
Which is the very first page in my invitation book, and you won't believe how big it's going to get.
Okay. All right. There she goes. Thank you, Laura.
Really pop it once when you cook it.
All right.
Get out of here.
Come on now.
Come on, really.
Okay, I'm going.
Here she's going now. What is that?
I look good.
I just she had this stuff here. Is that do you sell that too? Is that something?
Kissable lips.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Kissable lips.
Kissable lips.
Flavored lips.
Some kind of lip gloss.
Flavored lips. Very good.
Yeah.
What's that?
A little strawberry.
Yes, you're right.
Well, you do look good today.
She does look good. You look great. You look terrific.
Heard so many compliments.
Absolutely. You look fantastic.
All right. Cool.
Very nice. Right. With the fishnets. Wearing the fishnet stockings.
Are you wearing underwear?
No panties.
Really? Is that the truth?
Mm-hmm. Would you stand up on that chair again?
Oh, you're so horny.
I'm glad you asked that question. And I'm surprised at the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Really not wearing underwear?
No panties.
Wow.
No panties, she says.
Man. Really? That's interesting.
Okay.
Intriguing.
All right.
Okay.
When can I come again?
Who wants first dibs on the chair as soon as she leaves?
Talk to Charlie. We appreciate it. Laura Korn, thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Bye-bye.
There she goes. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right.
Yo. There she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's a handful, that one.
She's
a workout.
She's really a workout.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
Well, how come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
You sick.
Robbie, you got that paintball tape?
Yeah.
All right, let me hear just a second of that before we go to break. It's on tape one or two? Tape number one. You know, we did beat the sales department in our paintball game on Saturday.
We smited them. We pounced on them heavily.
And we did bring a tape recorder, and we will now listen to some highlights of our fantastic victory over the sales staff at Pev's Paintball in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Sunrise on Saturday.
Here we go. Here's us getting set up. Rob?
Yes?
We're here to kick ass.
Yes.
We're here to wipe out the other side. And we want to say, happy birthday, dear Jesus. Is tape running a little slow?
It gets better. I think I had a weird set.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you.
Approximate time, 7:45. Approximate temperature, 32 degrees. And I think the snow is going to be a factor today.
Some of my lieutenants are here. Lieutenant Bart, we do have a plan. It involves angels. Explain.
Well, you cover me in gutter gum. And me and Gerald will run ahead and you keep covering us.
All right, here's another one of my angels, Dennis Murphy.
Yeah.
Dennis, I want to tell you very specifically what your job is today. Stand in front of us so we don't get killed.
Okay. On the front one we shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also here is Private Charles Stossel.
General.
Did you call that girl last night?
Yes, I did.
When are you seeing her?
Sunday,
good man.
Good man. Good man, Private.
Good man, Private Stossel. And, of course, Captain O'Mara.
There will be a magic show at 0800. You will be prepared to take the field, and you will shoot whatever salesperson you see. You are here to kill salespeople. Salespeople are not your friends. You should make them die. The only good salesperson is a dead salesperson. Do I make myself clear?
Oh, yes, sir!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Rob, oh, was that David Hainline yelling, you're going down?
Yeah. Back yes. Let me hear that again. That prick. Thank God we beat them.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Rob, oh, F you, Hainline. Rob, would you please go interview some of the, I'm amazed, how many of the great unwashed are here this morning to watch us. If you would go
interview the untouchable.
Go interview some of the people who are here to watch and the people with the banners. And then on with the fight.
You got it.
All right, so now you're going to hear Rob actually go out into the crowd.
Right.
There was, I don't know, 50, 75, 100 people by the time we were done.
Yeah, we want to thank everybody that came out to Peb's Paintball.
Actually
yeah.
came to watch us play. Mm-hmm. I was amazed there were so many people that were there. I really was.
It was great.
Rob interviewing some of the kind-hearted folk who got up at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yeah. Okay, well, I would estimate the fan base here today at about 25 to 30 people so far, but only one set of folk brought banners. And can you read me your banner, sir?
Sure. It says, team needs some help. Our team loves Don and
what?
Mike.
What?
Are you saying the Don and Mike team is the team that needs some help?
No, actually, we're the team that needs some help.
Are you? What sort of team are you?
Just a novice paintball team.
I see, and you're here to pick up some pointers?
Yeah, we're just here to root for Don and Mike.
Very good, and your name is?
My name is Blaine.
And your name is?
Carl.
Carl and Blaine, what time did you get here today?
Oh, about, what time did we get here, about 7, 7:30?
Yeah, about 7.
And is it cold enough for you?
Oh, I'm shivering, I'm freezing.
And these youngsters, are they yours?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Michael.
And your name?
Blaine.
And are you excited to be here?
Uh-huh.
Who are you rooting for today?
What?
Don
and Mike.
Do you have any pointers for Don and Mike?
Hey. Took a shot.
A most excellent pointer. Well, thank you for coming out and cheer good and loud, all right?
We will. Right.
You're the Art Linkletter with those kids, Rob.
Rob Spiewak stars and kids say the darndest things. All right, now, I don't know what we have coming up next.
Hello,
year.
Hello, fans.
Hello.
My goodness, you have a dog in your jacket. You know this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name?
Gary Sexton.
And are you glad to be here? Is it cold enough for you? What time did you get here?
About 7:40.
And has it been worth it so far?
Yeah.
Any pointers for Don and Mike?
Kick their ass.
Okay. Are you related to this youngster?
Yeah.
The future of America? Are you related to him? What are your thoughts on such an exciting morning?
It's cold out here, and those paintballs are going to hurt.
What brings you out here today? What was the compelling need to be here for all this?
Oh, watch somebody get hit with a paintball. Plus, we deal with PEV anyway, so.
I see. Do you realize that at this point there are more lit cigarettes out here than there are competitors for the game?
This is the smoking section.
Oh, that's my fault. We're in the smoking section.
Right.
So, what would you have, if any advice for the Don and Mike team? Because you know they're going to win, right?
I hope they can run fast.
And that's your only advice?
Right.
Do you think the snow's a factor?
Yeah, they're going to do a lot of slipping and sliding up and through there. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
And here are Mr. and Mrs. Philip Morris over here. How are you today?
Very good.
And do you have any pointers for the Don and Mike team?
Annihilate the sales staff.
Do you have hatred for the sales staff?
I do.
And why is that?
Salespeople in general.
I agree with you.
That's a good comment.
Give you the compelling need. What makes you feel you had to be out here this morning?
Just listening to them talk the whole week about it on the radio.
It's a happening, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I
very
feel
good.
The love.
You feel the love?
Yes.
You're in the wrong place. And you're with this man by choice, ma'am?
Oh, well, reluctantly.
Understood. So enjoy that cigarette and try to keep warm. What's your name, sir?
Rick.
Rick, what brings you out here today?
Well, you're only like 2 blocks away from my house.
Lucky you. Nice neighborhood. 2 blocks from his house.
Well, he doesn't have to pay to get his house painted.
Name, sir?
Rick.
Rick, what brings you out here today?
Well, you're only like 2 blocks away from my house.
Lucky you. What a great location.
You just can't
a lot of people
color.
Want to be near Metro, but you're near Pez Paintball.
Yeah, I used to come out here all the time when I was in the Army. We used to have our little wars out here.
This is the real Army, and the real Army comes here for fun?
Yeah. When I was over here at Fort Belvoir, we'd come out here every so often just to shoot them up.
Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, what a great place to start. Any advice for the Don and Mike show, since you are a vet?
Stay low, watch out for paintballs, kill Joe Rockhead, and that'll be about it.
Do you think the snow's a factor today?
A little bit, but up in those trees near town, I don't think it's going to be too bad.
How about you, sir?
I'm just here to watch the carnage.
All these hillbillies.
Okay, I don't know that we're going to see any carnage. Are you rooting for the Don and Mike people or the salespeople?
Is there any choice?
Really, no.
Salespeople.
All salespeople?
Yeah, for the most part.
Then do you have a personal message for David Hainline?
How about Jeff Hedges?
Not here. David Hainline is the captain of the team, so if you want to direct your hatred, you want to direct it to David Hainline.
Is this a guy who hates the salespeople?
Yeah, he hates salespeople.
He hates salespeople.
Yeah, good for him. Rye, dog.
Okay, that's the end of that segment.
Charles Broyhill, can you walk us through the waiver form?
It's nice form.
It's a nice form?
I don't need to hear Charlie Broyhill being interviewed.
Right,
I don't need to hear that. With his walkie-talkie. Charlie Broyhill had the two-way radio clipped to his flight suit.
Yeah. Sure, his spandex flight suit.
Robbie, yeah, time out. When we come back, let's go right to the pre-game.
All right.
Let's go right to the cussing.
Yes, excellent.
Because we did have a bit of a pregame chat where once we started cussing...
We couldn't stop.
We realized that there was a tape recorder there.
Right, and we just thought it would be fun to talk dirty on the tape.
It's fun. And then Rob had spent lots of time beeping out all that stuff.
Absolutely. And when's the magic show?
That's 0800, right?
So we'll have next we'll have the cussing, then the early directions.
Yes.
A little friendly fire.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Ardinger names his gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sounds of battle.
Battle!
Coming next, our paintball game relived right here. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Holly, this is Jake from Body by Jake in Major League Lacrosse. I just want to leave a message for you and the fellas. Thanks a million for everything. I'm sure you read. If you didn't read, we had a sellout this past Saturday night in Baltimore. And it had a hell of a lot to do with you guys. And I just want to thank you. And had a great time. And now everyone in that whole area knows about my sex life. But, hey, you know what? It's a trade out. I got a sellout for it. Tell the boys thanks a million. And I really appreciate the support. See ya.
Leave me alone. I'm over this.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Our lead story.
Yes. The lead story on today's newscast.
Is the fact that we kicked the salespeople's ass.
Yes, it was a hard-fought battle and we prevailed.
When we played paintball on Saturday... We played Capture the Flag. We started at about 8:15 on Saturday morning.
Bright and early out in the cold tundra.
Right. Much thanks to the nice people at Pev's Paintball in Woodbridge, Virginia.
They set us up with balls, guns, camo, the whole schmear.
The ammo, we had everything. And we killed them.
We did.
And I mean that literally, we killed everybody on the sales staff.
Yeah, they were wiped out. We took no prisoners. I wanted to because I wanted to actually interrogate David Hainline.
We captured the flag. We killed the salespeople. I think when we last heard a bit of this tape, we had already met our team.
Right.
We had plotted our strategy. Rob had interviewed some of the great unwashed. And here we are now, moments before.
Just the dirty part?
The paintball battle.
Yes, where there's lots of cussing.
Not good. Let's go back to the tape. Saturday morning, our great paintball victory.
We are going to have... I don't want
to... Who's worse, you or me?
I don't know. It's a fine day, though. It's a little warm in Woodbridge.
Yes. You know, it is conceivably warmer than when we awoke.
It is, and I think it's a good day to do battle, and I think we're going to win. I think...
you, Rob.
That was that dirty f***er, Charlie Broyhill, with a... potty mouth.
Have you seen
Don wants to get on this? I know he's got that look in his eyes. Charlie f***ing Broyhill said a dirty word.
What the f*** did he say?
I said f*** you, Rob.
Rob, do you think there's a f***ing chance that you could edit this shit?
I think what I do is lay it down on some f***ing tape and then put in some goddamn Christing tone.
I think a collective from our group to the sales...
Let me just say, this is pretty pathetic.
It is. Yeah. We are.
We're up at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning wearing camouflage, and we are like a bunch of monkeys. We're laughing our asses off because we are cussing...
on the tape.
...into a tape recorder.
Although the thing I found funny is I knew it would take Rob a little extra time to put this down. That's the cruel side of me.
I think what I do is lay it down on some... tape and then put in some goddamn Christing tone.
I think a collective from our group to the salespeople, we can simply say, hey,
Fuck you!
Sorry, Bart.
But you know what the other team has?
We're doing all that right in front of Bart and his friend.
I know.
A couple of morons. Me again. Parent of the year.
Yeah. Come on, let's play paintball.
All we're doing is dropping the F-bomb.
Bart. But you know what the other team has? The Cunny factor.
They do, but you know, Rob, I live to kill Cunny. I love the smell of Cunny in the morning. See, they had girls on their team.
Yes, a lot more than we did.
We had no girls on our team.
We ended up getting Stacy.
Oh, yeah, we had Stacy, but right. She was a last-minute trade.
Okay. Where are we going now?
Friendly fire.
Who needs an armband? Friendly fire.
Stacy needs that. We unplug our way.
No, not yet.
Now we're arranging ourselves.
This might be where we get the instructions.
Is that what this is, Robbie, the instructions?
This is right as the DJ team, the Tards, is getting in our area.
Magic show at 0800.
Guys like Roy Hill, all the young guys, as soon as they say go, we got to go.
Take your barrel plugs out.
Thank you, bud.
Sounds like somebody's in the trunk of a car.
Keep your fingers off the trigger.
Somebody shot.
Keep your fingers off the trigger.
Hold on a second. Don't start the game.
Leave that out.
Who
left the S word in?
Who was that?
Somebody said the S word. I think it was you, Mike.
I thought it was Joe.
No, I think it's you.
Go to 14.
Okay.
Let's just go past this. I'm afraid there might be more cussing in this segment.
I'm sorry. It was war.
Hey, don't do this S without me.
War is hell.
War is hell, and you use bad language.
Okay, we're rolling. Here we go. Okay, back to the instructions.
I like that. That's our battle cry.
What?
Dave, I'm going to kill you.
Ow! Sorry, Charlie.
This is a good moment.
Oh, this is a good moment. This is excellent. We're standing around getting ready to go play, and I accidentally shot Charlie Stossel twice in the hand. That's why you hear him go, ow.
One of the things that we did hear right before this is the guy saying, please take your barrel plug out, but keep your fingers off the trigger at all times. Do not touch the trigger.
All right, when you hear you're going to hear the talking, then you hear a gun go off, and you'll hear Charlie Stossel say, ow. Don is probably 2 feet from Charlie Stossel.
Yeah, he shot him right in the hand.
Discharges his weapon into his hand, right between the thumb and forefinger where it really hurts.
Like a pile of snot right in his palm.
That's our battle cry.
What?
Dave, I'm gonna kill you!
Ow! Sorry, Charlie.
Oh!
Friendly fire.
Oh, you cracked me!
I didn't mean to.
Can I hear that again? That's worth hearing again. It really is.
I really didn't mean to shoot him, I swear.
You hear the immediate reaction of Don's gun going, boom, and Charlie going, ow!
Everybody.
That's our battle cry.
What?
Dave, I'm gonna kill you!
Ow! Sorry, Charlie. Friendly fire.
Oh, you cracked me!
Charlie, I'm sorry.
Hold on, while we have the mic, what happened here, boys?
It's friendly fire, Rob. I accidentally
took my hand off.
I accidentally shot Charlie Stossel.
He took my freaking hand off.
Come on, looks like he'd use a cleaner.
Stossel, you're on the left side with them.
Yes, I'm general.
All right.
All right, yeah, go to the next segment, please. We're getting very close to the battle now.
It's almost battle time.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is, I think, Rob has this categorized as, I almost shoot Bart.
Yeah, more friendly fire.
Almost had some more friendly fire.
You just were firing rounds all over the place.
So they gave me that automatic weapon, and when I just went to pick the gun up,
right.
If you just put your hand anywhere near the trigger, that baby started going off. That's why you keep your hand away from the trigger.
A much better gun. Careful with it, though.
Yeah, don't waste your ammo.
Just that.
I don't know.
Don't even put your finger.
Oh,
sorry.
Dad, thanks.
You got going.
You didn't hit me, though.
Replay that for a second. Let me hear that.
It's the same sound. There's only
so
one.
Here's Dad.
Only one gun that sounds like that.
Sorry.
Just that.
I don't know.
Don't even put your finger.
Oh,
Sorry.
Dad, thanks. You didn't hit me, though.
You're causing problems.
Do not
pull the trigger. I don't want to get hit either.
Rob, I have just accidentally shot Bart.
It's right after you shot Charlie.
I'm loopy. I'm loopy for the gun.
Look at you. You're nutty for the friendly fire.
You might get a little friendly fire yourself, Dad.
You ready?
Ready?
No.
Stand by. And boy. Party. Don't waste your ammo.
We have a 1 minute before the score. There's a 1 minute delay. So it's just
you again. The gun keeps going off.
The game starts.
What do we do?
Everyone has to be inside the flag station.
Now we're getting our final instructions.
Right. Waiting for a guy to blow the whistle, and then we have 60 seconds.
Also, 1 minute countdown.
60 seconds prior to the joust.
You're one of the left, right?
Yes.
Listen, why don't you be in that corner of the flag station ready to go for that tree?
Are you hearing some real battle conversation between Buzz and Rob?
Your strategy there.
We got to be in here.
They tell us all to stay in one area, but
right, we start to ease out of there.
We start splitting up.
All set, go.
It looked a little like the Blair Witch Project, too.
It did. Out there in the woods. The thick woods. There's little wooden sculptures hanging from the trees.
Very top.
Of course, the Blair Witch Project didn't have that plane flying over.
Still screaming, wait for my whistle.
A lot of rules in paintball. A lot of instructions.
Too many! Oh, come on. Where's the actual game, Rob?
It's a little out of sequence. We're about to get to where Joe actually gets shot once. Paintball doesn't break, then he gets killed. So we actually get to hear...
So we're going
to
hear Joe Ardinger get killed?
Yes.
Okay.
Figuratively, of course.
Okay.
Has the game started yet?
Not yet.
No. Well, I've got nothing now.
It's coming in 1 second. This is Joe out in the field firing.
What we did is we have a wireless microphone that is strapped to Joe Ardinger's chest.
Right.
So when you hear that, that's the sound of Joe.
That's Joe's gun.
Shooting his gun.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Paint check.
Paint check.
My head. We're clean.
That's good. Rob, let's break when we come back. Here's what I want to hear. I want to hear Mike get hit in the face.
Okay.
I want to hear Jim McClure suiciding himself. Then I want to hear Eat My Luger. And finally, the victory.
The victory!
The victory, okay. All of that coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why did he deserve to die, Mr. Guest? Because he was acting like a total ass.
And in your view, people that you perceive to be ass should be killed?
Well, in many cases, it might make the world a better place.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
We're going to wrap it up in this break.
Right.
We're going to start with Mike
the whole set
getting shot. Now, since none of us were armed with tape recorders, except for Rob and Joe Ardinger,
right.
You don't actually hear Mike get hit, but you hear Mike run up to Rob after Mike has been hit.
And I wonder if this is the one where I was angry. Was this the one where I was angry?
I don't remember you being anything but pleasant all morning.
All right, here we go.
You're upset at this point.
Let's roll the tape,
right,
please.
Right.
Already? Oh. Yeah. Come here a second. Let me interview you.
Yeah, that's what I saw him coming.
Back it up, then. Back it up a little bit.
There's one time I got hit where I was depressed, and then the other time when I was angry. And the third time I just...
There's a yellow armband.
Oh, shit.
Already?
Yeah.
Come here a second. Let me interview you.
Get back here. I'll be fine.
Trouble for Mike O'Mara. Mike, what happened?
I got hit.
Who hit you?
I don't know. I didn't see it coming, but I got hit in the face.
Oh, you're kidding. That's oh, look right at you. Oh, how did that feel?
That hurt.
Looks like snot dripping,
that hurt like
dripping
hell.
Down your nose.
That hurt like hell.
Well, thank you for taking one.
Thank you.
That's good.
And now I'm going to reincarnate because I'm going to cheat because it's our game.
I agree that you should reincarnate. It is your game. Dennis. Back to the center. Thanks.
My gun.
Wow.
It's Rob shooting.
Old tin can.
I think all we're hearing now is Rob clomp around his big Herman Munster shoes. Let's go to Jim McClure suiciding himself for the good of the team.
Okay,
this is where he ran towards the other team's fort.
What happens is about five of us up on top of this hill, and Jim McClure, Big Gum Jim, very bravely says, I will run in, and I will get their fire. And while they're shooting at me, you guys come in behind and shoot at them.
All right.
And I'd be damned if it didn't work.
It works.
Here is Big Gum Jim.
Buzz, what happened? Jim, come here. Keep your hand up.
Crunch.
I suicided myself to kill David Hainline.
Did it work?
I got him.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
You decided.
Time machine.
I got
that
was out of the game.
I can hear Dennis laughing.
Hey, do we have anybody close?
I can't see from here. Right now, some confusion on the battlefield as we don't know if we have anyone who's close. How do things look up there, my sir?
All is quiet on the western front, Rob.
Thank you.
Slowing down a little bit. You don't hear as many gunfire shots.
Time machine.
There's Rob.
Firing in the air.
Rob using his musket.
Dot, dot.
My Luger.
Was that your gun going dot, dot, dot?
The latest I heard is that Jim McClure suicided himself to kill David Hainline.
Suicided himself. I hear no gunfire.
Now, at this point, while you guys are all back by the fort area,
right.
It was Bart and myself and maybe Wendell
right.
and Jarrett just ran up and got the flag
right.
and ran it back. I think you're going to hear right. that when we arrived.
I was covering your left flank with my fourth life, though. I was on my belly offering covering fire.
My belly.
Oh, yes. I believe that's victory. Oh, yes. Yes. Who actually had the flag, Captain?
Rob, I am proud to say that Captain Bart captured the flag.
Let's go, Barty.
For the good guys team. And ran down the field victorious with myself and Jarrett leading the way.
Bart, you must be thrilled.
Yeah.
You want to take it one game at a time? What's your plan for the next paintball match?
Just do the same thing. Just take them all out and get the flag.
Uncle Mike, we won.
I'm covered with paint, but I was reincarnated.
Mike, amazing staying power. You actually lived eight lives out there.
I did indeed. They'd wipe me off when I'd go back to battle, but I'd like to say that the greatest satisfaction was a headshot to David Hainline.
Huzzah!
Mike, I believe that Jimmy Dum-Dum also hit David Hainline. I am proud to tell you, I also shot David Hainline.
Fantastic!
You know, that's a highlight for us. We all got to kill David Hainline.
If you saw a picture of him, he's just covered with blue paint.
I got him one time. He had been hit.
Right.
And he put his hand up.
Sure.
And he was walking off, and I still took a shot at him.
He's the kind of guy you want to throw a couple of extra rounds into.
Sure. Just to make sure.
A great victory for the Allied forces.
For the good guys.
We knew that the sales team would lose because they are pussies!
Let's hear it, Tar! Yeah!
Cards!
Cards! Cards! Cards! Cards! Cards! Cards! Cards!
That was our team, the Tards.
Go interview some of the spectators of this war.
I will. I think I shall.
So now the battle's over.
Good guys win.
The first person I want to speak to is David Hainlein. Dave, you played just like we expected you would. How are your feelings right now?
I feel great.
Really? Yeah. You were shot. You were obviously the obvious target for so many people.
Got hit right in the eye.
Did you? Did the goggles help you out?
The goggles were a good thing. I highly recommend never taking them off.
What felt better? The sting of the paintball or the angry sting of defeat?
What hurt worse is when I was dead and Jim McClure hit me in the neck at close range. That's what was the aggravating part of this defeat. Walking up with my hands up, dead, and getting shot after I was dead.
He doesn't know that was me that shot him, not Jim.
That was Jim McClure actually being quite proactive.
He was proactive, and he was dead too. My ass.
Was proactive your ass?
Yeah, proactive my ass.
Jim McCarthy, everybody.
And he unloads from 10 yards out.
Who's that?
That's Jim McClure. There's a bounty on his
head. Hey, Dobby, how'd you like that headshot I got on
you? Yeah. I didn't know that you could shoot so well. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I was aiming for you.
You dirty dog. You.
Mike, you're covered with paint, huh?
I am indeed. Everybody was shooting at me. But I reincarnated.
What'd you think, spectators? Could you see anything from your vantage point?
No, not
standing Mikey around getting shot.
Yeah, well, I was doing my best to guard that tree. And as you know, no one hit the tree. What were your thoughts, sir?
I saw Mike get waxed. It was cool.
Yeah, Mike apparently has several lives because he would get hit, but he would not fall down.
He was already dead, and I guess the guy didn't know he was dead, so he laid about three shots right into his back.
I want you to know it was not all fun and games out there. As you can see, I have a trace of not-colored paint on my boot, and I'd love to tell about it. You, sir, must be clearly impressed with our condition.
Oh, completely.
And your thoughts after seeing such a sight?
Well, I was waiting for Dennis to turn into Rambo, so I'm a little disappointed about that one.
Well, I tell you what, you keep waiting because it might happen still.
Well, I think he's going to snap. You guys are going to play again.
We'll see. Your thoughts, sir?
I'm really disappointed because I wanted to see Dennis Murphy out there in the nurse's outfit.
Sorry about that.
But at least the good guys won.
He was more valuable as a soldier than as a nurse. And I think it shows because he was on the winning team.
Soldier with the nurse's outfit on.
Well, that might be your own private fantasy. You, sir?
Made the Super Bowl look like a joke. It was incredible.
It was. It was really great, wasn't it?
That's it. We won.
Hey.
Kick their ass. And there will be a rematch in the spring.
Oh, there sure will be.
When the weather's warmer and we're all wearing our Richard Simmons candy stripe shorts.
We kicked their ass.
We did indeed.
Yeah. And thanks again to the great guys at Pev's Paintball.
They were very accommodating.
Fantastic. Woodbridge, VA. They're swell guys.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
What happened with your wife last night?
I wasn't with my wife. I was with my girlfriend.
Are you having marriage problems?
No.
Then why do you have a girlfriend?
Well, you're stop marvelizing with me now.
No. I'm just curious. Why do you have a girlfriend?
I do things with her I can't do with my wife.
Why can't you do them with your wife?
Hey, that's the mouth she kisses my kids goodnight with. What, are you crazy?
Today is doing her volunteer work.
Oh, that's right.
She's at some women's center today. But I want to talk with her about something. My wife loved Leo on the show yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, normally my wife is not fond of Leo.
Because of the imperfections, I'm guessing?
Yeah, because yesterday was the day that I found out that Leah, although I...
I'm not on my sofa.
Hey, Robbie, try my wife at this number right here.
Please? You better up there?
Yeah.
That's the number right there. Although I am in love with Leah...
Sure.
It was apparent yesterday for the first time in this fairy tale world that I have with Leah Remedy.
All right.
That really, when you get past all the TV star stuff and how sweet she is and everything, things. It's really, well, it's like someone said to me a long time ago. You know, when you really, they're all the same.
That's what Leo was saying.
The same. Women are just like trains. If you miss one, the next one is just five 5 minutes away. And yesterday was the first time that I got a peek into the reality of what it might be like, what maintenance it might be like to be Mr. Leah Remini.
Leah is saying that, you know, she'd had her thank God and that maybe there was some after effects of that and she was nervous about going on the show. So we saw a little more of the normal
the real Leah.
Human side.
So when I got home last night, the first thing Frieda says to me is, hey, I'm watching King of Queens. Do you want to watch? Now, normally on Monday night, you know, I have to take the tray into the TV room by myself and eat off my knees because I'm the only one that wants to watch the show. She says, no, watch it. They had a new opening. It's a really good episode. Mm-hmm. I said, wow, I'm glad you warmed up to the show. And she said, oh, no, I loved Leah on your show today. She said that you finally found out. The dream girl's not all that she's cracked up to be.
Yeah, it's true. There were some flaws.
She absolutely loved that. Hello, darling.
Hello, boo-boo.
I'm just talking about how you loved Leah yesterday on this show. But yesterday she was a bit flawed, and you seemed to enjoy that.
No, I thought she was terrific. I mean, I liked hearing aspect of her.
See? So she's not quite so perfect.
Frieda, did you...
You don't have her on the line now, do you?
No, not yet.
Because I don't want to say that right to her. But, no, I think that that makes it so I could relate to her, and I liked hearing the bloom off the rose a little bit with her, with you.
Is that the part you liked best, Frieda, or did you also like some of the things she said?
She's still going to be my third wife.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm glad that you know that your third wife will be no different from your second
yeah,
wife.
Yeah, I know, just as big a pain in the ass.
No, I like that.
However, here's what I really want to talk to you about, honey. First, how are things going at the Women's Center today?
It's a busy day. It usually is here.
Good.
We have a lot to discuss.
Why? Why do we have a lot to discuss?
No, me and other women.
Oh, good. I like that. I applaud this, that my wife, once a week, out of the goodness of her heart, she goes and she gives volunteer time at this place. And then, inevitably, when I come home at the end of the day, she realizes that compared to a lot of putzes out there, that relatively speaking, I'm not that putzy.
Not so bad.
And I also know I have a place to turn if you become that putzy.
Yeah, right, if I start OJing her.
Well,
and I tell you, I won't OJ you unless you please just listen. That's the whole problem. They just don't listen.
You know, and that's not really the philosophy here. But
I know it's not.
That's just the philosophy in your little world.
You know, as a matter of fact, honey, I just came up with another great perspective here. That in many ways, our relationship is like I'm George Jefferson, who went out to the cleaners every day. Remember, George Jefferson had to go out and work his ass off. Remember, he had to climb his way up one rung at a time on the ladder. Mm-hmm. And then when he got there, when they lived in a penthouse, that's when Wheezy would like do her volunteer work.
Right.
Stuff.
No, because I don't... What was their maid's name? I want that gal living at my house.
Her name was Marla Gibbs in real life.
Right.
That would mean that Bart would be Lionel.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll tell you, I will give you another wacky Jefferson fact.
It was Lionel, not like the train system.
That the neighbors... Was her name Florence? Was that? Yeah, Florence the maid.
Florence.
Yeah.
Florence the maid. Do you know that our neighbors live directly across the street from us?
Uh-huh.
They are an Oreo couple.
An interracial couple, just like on the Jeffersons.
Just like on the Jeffersons, except on the Jeffersons, it was the couple across the hall. And their name was who? The Willises?
Yeah. Right.
It was, what were their names, Robbie?
Tom and Helen Willis, played by Roxy Roker, Franklin Cover. Roxy Roker
is the mother of
Lenny Kravitz.
No, I want to be her. I want to be Roxy. I don't want to be Wheezy.
Well, too bad. Honey, you're Wheezy.
I don't want
you're the Wheezy.
I
don't
want
to. Listen, so this morning, I'm getting up and I'm doing my errands and I'm doing the stuff that I have to do and I'm watching Sports Center and I'm reading the newspaper and I thought, geez, I really got to take a leak. So I went out, I opened the sliding glass door, I went out on the deck, stand there peeing off the deck.
Right.
All of a sudden I feel a tap on my shoulder. I turn around. You're lucky that you didn't get sprayed, honey.
Oh.
For goodness sakes. I said what? And she said, what yourself? She said, what are you doing? I said, what does it look like I do?
All over the railing.
I said, I am going to the bathroom.
That's not normal.
And this is why I bring this up in this fine forum on this fine stage, ladies and gentlemen, to tell my wife that is, like I've said before, it is absolutely normal for guys that want to pee off their deck. Honey, we live in a secluded area.
Maybe
nobody can see.
No, maybe once, maybe at the millennium, once or New Year's Eve or when you've had too much drink, or if you're caught short, or if it's an emergency and you're in the woods.
Dottie, I love... Listen.
Regular place.
No, listen. You know what I love? I love that dead spot right beneath the deck.
That's not normal.
That's your spot. That's the spot you've marked.
That is the spot that, incidentally, over the years, I've seen grow from nickel size to the size of a manhole cover.
And you're proud of that.
Yeah, that's all the grass that I have killed, what with my standing out on the deck.
What?
And she accuses me of being lazy. She says, you're just too lazy to go to the bathroom. And
I don't think that's it.
And I showed her. I said, look at this. The amount of steps it takes me to go to the deck, open the door, step outside, same amount of steps it would take me to walk to the bathroom. It's not a laziness issue. I enjoy it.
It's a preference.
I enjoy it.
All right, fine. You know, what would you think if I did that?
And that's what I said to you. I said, you know what? Girls don't do that, but if you want to...
Not all men do that.
Knock yourself out.
Not all men. You would think it was weird, and not all men do that.
Honey, you don't have...
You don't have
the equipment to be able...
I could do... I could do that wherever I wanted.
No, what are you going to do? Balance on the edge of the deck? I mean, because you have to squat.
Yeah, well, what do you think they do in Asia?
Okay. Well, maybe they do in Asia.
I mean, that's the way that...
But, honey, they don't have decks. I would have to... Yeah, right. I would have to cut a hole in the deck. Seriously, I would have to go out there with a saw and cut a round hole in the deck for you to be able to pee off the deck.
Obviously, because, by the way, our deck works, it looks, it's not necessary to miss the deck every time you do it.
You cannot tell by looking at our deck where I have gone number one, where I've tinkled. You cannot.
You have gotten the deck.
I know I've gotten the deck. I make no bones about that. But you can't tell. If you were to go out and look at the deck completely dry and say, where is this activity happening, you would not be able to tell.
Well, that's a whole stupid discussion. Because you shouldn't do it, and not every man does it. And you told me...
Real men do it, honey.
That all men do it. And
real men do it.
And I said, no, they don't. You said, well, a lot do. But a lot go to the opera, too. And you don't go to the opera. I mean, you don't have to do it just because it's dumb and a lot of men do it.
I love it. It's one of the few pleasures I have left in life. And please, never, never, never tap me on the shoulder again when I am taking a leak out.
It's dangerous.
Because you're not in a private area, so I can come out and chat with you.
I am in a very private area.
I can bring my book club out there while you're standing.
Oh, and I would love to pee on them. Oh, out there with their paracels and their little cucumber sandwiches.
I could bring a handyman out there to chat with you because you're not in a private sanctioned area.
No, I'm in a private area because it's our home. It's our home.
No, it's home, a common area in our home.
Frida, if you're really curious, Frida, you should go out there with a black light sometime.
Oh, gross.
This is the part of the show where, frankly, I've got to be honest, I miss Mike. Because right now, there's nobody stepping up on this show to say, hey, guess what? I pee outside, too. Buzz, you sit down when you go to the bathroom.
No, I don't do that. And I have gone outside, not on a regular basis, but I've done it.
Yeah, I would do it, too. I can't because of my neighborhood.
Right.
I'm surrounded by people on all sides.
That's my problem.
People would talk.
Yeah.
There would be discussions. But I can see your point. And you know what? I worked at a Christmas tree stand when I was growing up. Greatest pleasure in the world, because when it's cold, there's steam.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's good.
And listen, here's the
other one. People love dragging their Christmas trees home, too.
Like there's not that on the trees already.
Yeah. And just too bad you don't do your show, say, with a co-host as a collie, because then you'd have something in common.
Listen to this. Listen to what else she says to me. She says, why do you do this? And I said, I can't explain it, but I like peeing off the deck. And she says, do you get excited by this? And I said, I turn around.
I'm
hanging out in the barn. I said, do I look aroused to you? And she said, well, no. Well, of course, you couldn't if you were aroused.
Mm-hmm.
I said, right. So, I'm obviously not getting some kind of perversion out of this.
And she's known that you've done this for some time.
Yes,
but now that,
not a secret.
Frida, now that you've caught him, you're especially steamed.
Not a secret.
I just normally see him stepping out there. And, right. He says he does things. Half the time, I don't believe him. I think he's just exaggerating.
I tell you, Jesus.
No.
You're not going to meet a more honest person than me, honey. I enjoy crapping
That's
off
true.
Our deck.
Ew.
I mean, peeing off our deck.
Oh, there's a new revelation.
All right.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, you're wrong about that. You're wrong.
I am not.
And
you know,
I will bet you.
Fine.
I will bet you that when Leah and I are married.
You see what Leah thinks about that, and I guarantee you my next husband will not do that.
All right, well, maybe Angelo will not do that, but I guarantee you Leah will never tap me on the shoulder while I'm taking a leak off my own deck.
I'm going to call the men I've dated in my life and ask them if they did that.
Please, like Chris Core?
Yeah.
Please. Okay. First off, let's check Chris Core, okay? Chris Core, I believe, has female genitalia, okay? Okay. Who else are we going to call?
I'll keep it to myself. But they did that.
Who else? Let's go through the men you dated. There's Steve.
Clem.
There's Chris.
Classy men.
And then there's the big doofus from Jacksonville.
You know, he wasn't a doofus, but he was big.
Really?
I'm not making a lewd comment. He was tall.
Really?
Yeah, tall.
Well, I have news for you, honey. All of those guys and the thousands of other, countless other guys that came before me, whose names I do not know, if they were real men, they enjoyed peeing off their deck.
No, I don't think so.
That's it.
I think it's connected to IQ.
Oh, please.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, please. Please, I guarantee. Listen, what would you say if I did some research and it showed like that Albert Einstein liked peeing off his deck?
So far, all you've got on your side is Rob A. when he worked a Christmas tree stand.
And Mike. Now, listen, Mike's not here, but I know Mike does it.
All right, good.
All right, you know,
okay,
I'm going to make
this. My point has been proven.
I'm going to make this my quest today to find really smart guys. Well, Robbie, give me the number of Microsoft, please.
Call that guy. Who's that millionaire that called you a week or so ago?
Oh, not the guy who had his picture on the palm?
Yeah.
No, no way.
Yeah.
I'm going to call some really smart guy like Bill Gates.
Genius. That millionaire will call you back and see if he pees off his deck.
All right, goodbye, darling.
All right, goodbye, boo-boo. Goodbye. I love you, Annie.
I love you, too.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
She knows you have a high IQ.
Right. Next time I'll pee on her. What'd you think about that? I mean, really, she almost did get peed on.
Yeah, you shouldn't tap on a guy's shoulder when he's doing that.
Scared the crap out of
him. Sure.
Go pardon the pun. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, Mike, how are you?
Dan, buddy.
Good.
No, I'm Don. Mike's not here.
Oh, Mike, how are you? Just to let you know, I feel...
No, wait a minute, sir.
Yeah.
You keep saying Mike. Mike's not here today.
Oh.
We wish him to get well, but it's Don today.
Oh, okay. Don?
Yes.
And that's Buzz, right?
Right.
Right. Good.
I pee off the deck all the time.
Okay, now you are killing my case here. My legend said that guys with low IQs are the only guys that pee off their deck. You're killing me.
You're not
Thank
helping.
You.
Goodbye. Hello, Chris. Christopher.
Yes.
Chris, buddy.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
I do it every night. Two Good. Or three times, four times a night.
Good man.
Just for the brisk air outside.
Tell me something. What is your education level?
I'm working on a degree in electronics.
Well, I don't know, Buzz. You know, technically that could, you know, a degree in electronics could mean just about anything.
Yeah, that's true.
This is like when we're playing the secret sound game and trying to decide about somebody. All right, thank you, Chris.
You got it.
Thank you. All right, let me go to Vermont. Here's Matt. Matthew. Matt. All right. Alan.
Yeah.
Alan, buddy.
Yeah.
Alan, Kansas. You do it, right?
You bet.
Oh, Kansas.
Good
sure.
man.
KFH.
Good man. Makes you feel like a real man to do it, doesn't it?
That's right.
Now, do you have privacy where you are?
Yeah, I live out in the country.
Yeah, see, that helps.
Yeah, well, me too.
That makes the difference. Well, see, I don't have that.
I love it. Listen,
actually,
thank you.
Actually, go outside first instead of going to the bathroom, and then you don't have to listen to your wife complain about you missed the side of the toilet.
This guy's absolutely right. Thank you, my friend.
That's a winning
right.
argument.
I'm starting a goddamn support group right now. That's what I'm doing. Hold on a second. Let's
hide on
800-426-9450. Okay. Let me just call Bill Gates very quickly.
You know, I bet he does.
To find out if Bill Gates pays
Welcome
off
to Microsoft
deck.
Sales. If you know the 5-digit extension of the person you wish to reach, press 0 now. For MSN information, please call 1-800-386-5550.
To urinate on this.
Otherwise, please select from these options.
Bill Gates, please.
For information on product support,
no.
press 1.
No, Bill Gates.
To speak with the representative about Microsoft in the year 2000.
No.
Press 2.
Bill Gates.
For product part numbers or pricing, or to purchase Microsoft products.
No, of course not.
Press 3.
Please.
To obtain replacement manuals, disks, drivers.
Is this the number in Seattle, Robbie?
That's their 800
four.
Listing. I thought
to
that would be the main
Microsoft
thing.
To speak with the Microsoft sales representative.
Oh, here we go.
Press 5.
Oh, there you go.
Please
somewhere.
Select from the following five options.
Gates, Bill.
If you are a Microsoft certified solution provider, press 1. If you are a reseller, press 2.
No, I'm not.
If you represent a business with greater than 100 PCs.
I'm a guy who likes to pee off his deck.
If you represent a business with less than 100 PCs, educational institutions,
okay.
or government. One
push
moment,
three.
Please, while your call is connected.
I just pushed 3.
Your call may be monitored or recorded.
Good. Monitor this.
Thank you for calling Microsoft. All representatives are serving other customers at this time.
Please.
Please hold, and the next available representative will assist you.
This is agonizing. This is worse than calling DirecTV.
Welcome to the age of voicemail.
Jobs. You can even email us your resume.
Oh, my God.
Resume? Use resume, Bill.
Right now.
What, Robbie?
Most of the salespeople are out on the deck right now.
If you're a developer, you're going to find a treasure of information on
why don't you see if you can find me a number directly in Seattle?
All right.
Where Bill Gates might actually be.
You know, his house is a lot like Star Trek. He can, like, walk into a room and say brighter, and the lights get brighter. He can say dimmer, they get dimmer. He can say warmer.
Thank you for calling Microsoft. May I take your name and phone number so we could contact you about our customer service?
Yes, hello. My name is Donnie. I'm on the radio right now, and my telephone number is 1-800-275-4277.
All right, and what is the best time to reach you?
Any day between 3 and 7 East Coast time. Now, I'm calling to ask you a question, my lovely.
Okay.
I have a question about Mr. Bill Gates. Can I speak to him, please?
Well, I don't know how to get direct access to him.
Okay, well, perhaps you could answer my question. I was just having a rhetorical discussion with my wife of 18 years here on the radio about the fact that I, like many men, enjoy relieving myself, just number one, off the deck in my house. And my wife made a very crude comment saying that only men with low IQ do this. And I believe that Bill Gates is possibly the smartest man on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know, does Bill Gates tinkle off his deck?
Right.
Are you asking me, or?
I'm asking if you know.
No, I wouldn't know that.
Would you be able to hazard a guess?
Not even close. I'm not sure.
Really? Have you ever met the man?
No, I haven't.
You've never met him. Would there be anybody in the office you could ask? Would you please? I'm a big Microsoft user.
And where did you say you were from?
I'm from Hades. I've got like Microsoft Word Perfect, all that
right.
Crap. I've got all of it. Please, will you just ask somebody?
You must be from the East Coast.
Yes. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I never pee on windows. Get it? I never pee on windows.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
Okay. Could you please ask somebody?
Wow, you really broke up my day. That's wonderful.
Honey, this is a serious question.
That's great, because I have to say the same thing 300 to 500 times a day to people, and that's,
I am drop-dead serious. When I said,
that's
will you
a great
please,
chuckle.
Would you please, I'm not doing this for a chuckle. Would you please ask somebody if Bill Gates urinates off his deck?
We really want to find out.
Who else is on the line?
This is my friend Buzz.
Hi.
Hi.
Because my other friend, Mike, he's not here today. So you know on the Tonight Show...
I guess we're all lucky then, aren't we?
You know on the Tonight Show how when someone was not there, they'd all move up on the couch?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like today then, because Mike's not here, Buzz moves over and sits in Mike's chair.
Are you part of a radio station?
Yeah, honey. What part of this didn't you understand when I said I'm on the radio?
Yeah, well, a lot of people say that just liking to think that they are.
Really?
Oh, really? Well, tell me what you think of this. Do guys like that have sound effects like that?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, huh? How about this, baby?
Oh, no.
What do you think of that?
You must be friends with Howard Stern.
No, I'm not.
This little girl has knockers.
Not in the least. Like that guy has, like he has the patent on a fart sound effect.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think so.
Please.
No.
That's public domain, baby. Well, can you answer the question?
No, I can't.
Can you ask? Please? Please?
Really, I'm not supposed to tie up the line.
Oh, please.
But maybe if you told her that we're the best show on radio.
Right. According to Talkers Magazine.
I haven't even given your call letters yet. I haven't even heard those.
We're a national show. We're on about 50 stations. But according to Talkers Magazine, according to J.J. McKay at KGUY in Portland,
mm-hmm.
This is the greatest show on radio.
Where do you emanate from?
We emanate from Washington, D.C., and I do like that 25-cent word.
That's tonight.
Can I ask you a question, a personal question?
What is that?
Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Ooh.
Yeah, right, Rob. I got that. You're hot, right? You're cute.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
No. Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Mary Lou Henner.
Mary Lou Henner.
That's not bad in her heyday.
Yeah, very cool. Are you in Seattle right now?
Not Seattle.
Where are you right now? Where are you emanating from?
Close to. It's Bellevue.
Are you wearing flannel?
No.
So you couldn't find Bill Gates for us?
No, I could not.
I'm going to put you on record, though, One of the things I do best on this show is taking facts and bending them whatever way I need to win my arguments.
I'm sure you excel at that.
I am going to, thank you, I am going to put you on record then as saying Microsoft says Bill Gates does pee off his deck.
No.
Yes. Since you have not been able to give me an answer either way, I'm going to guess that your silence, your stalling technique, means that indeed he does, and I will be able to win this battle with my wife.
Mm-hmm. Ignorance is bliss at times.
That's right, honey. And you're talking to Mr. Bliss right now. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Goodbye now.
Bye.
Goodbye.
What was that?
Oh, that was Rob.
Yeah.
I thought that was the girl on the phone. No, it was just Robbie making his noise in the background.
She's emanating.
Is she still there?
I think she is. Hello? Lady?
Hey, baby?
No. There she goes.
Yeah, she is.
Hey.
She's gone.
You broke up her day.
But you heard it.
Yeah.
Bill Gates loves to pee off his deck.
There's the proof.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I just wanted to let you know that my father, who's a college graduate, pees off his deck.
Ah, right. Of course. Most brilliant men do.
And he's a mathematical genius.
Your dad and me and Bill Gates, we're all in that same club. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you.
Hello, Mark. Mark, yeah. You're on the air. Hello, Mark.
Don.
Buddy.
Buzz. Robbie.
Hey.
Hey, I know that there's a famous photograph from World War II of General George Patton peeing in the Rhine River. I think that still fits into the category that you're trying to prove.
I don't know if he's necessarily a genius, but he certainly is a man's man.
A great leader.
He was a military
hold
genius.
I got to interrupt you for a second. Thank you for the call, Mark.
Yeah.
Charles Broyhill has just slid into Mike's chair.
Look at this. And put his feet up.
He normally plops down in the third microphone position. How does it feel sitting in the big chair today, Charlie?
It's okay.
What can I do for you?
I just wanted to tell you that I, too, have peed off your deck.
When did you pee off my deck?
Back in the day when I used to house sit.
Back in the day.
I would pee off your deck.
Thank you. Thank you for that news.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. I can't tell you how that disturbs me. I don't even want to know all the other stuff that you've done in our house when you house sat for us.
Someone else has marked your territory.
For goodness sakes. I bet he didn't pick my spot.
No.
My spot's hard to find.
He's got his own spot.
Hello, Missy.
Yes.
Hey, Missy.
Hello.
Missy, baby.
Yes.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
We live out in Knoxville and have a pond in our front yard. And my boyfriend has gotten, it's an art. He's got it so he can pee halfway through the pond now. It's got to be a testosterone thing.
Right. Well, most brilliant men with high testosterone levels seem to enjoy doing this. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Take care.
Goodbye.
He's the statue, the peeing statue.
All right, well, and Buzz, I got to get me one of those. Of the little fat kid with the one hand on the top of his head.
Yeah, you put it on your deck.
Beautiful. One more call. Oh, here's a guy who says he's a smart guy who pees off his deck.
Excellent.
Let's check that out. Bob.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you guys?
Bob, are you smart?
Yeah, I think so. I'll tell you, the reason I'm smart is I'm outside in my backyard walking my dog in pitch dark with 300 acres behind me. Hell, I'm going to pee all over the backyard.
All right, good man.
There has to be a deck.
Good man, thank you.
Who wants to walk inside and pee?
Right. Go outside and pee. I'm with you.
Go outside and pee.
I'm inside.
I got a flushing toilet. I got to pay for the water.
Okay. Give me a headache, for goodness sakes.
Men do that because they can. Women can't do that so easily.
Smart guy. No, my wife says she could.
Really?
I said, well, how would you like it if I did?
Well, you know.
Go ahead.
It's a big deck.
That might turn me on. Do it. Let me see it. Drop them. Let me see what you've got.
Works for Bob Guccione.
In the curtain, I see this gentleman sitting on a service cart, sitting down with his pants down to his ankles, relieving himself. And I said, sir, this is not a bathroom. Excuse me, sir, this is not a bathroom. Imagine a small room and a grown man defecating in that small room and spreading it all over. Imagine that smell. Can't hide it. It was very bad. Very bad.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
My son's school had this auction.
Mm-hmm.
on Saturday night.
Right.
I haven't told you about this. It's ridiculous that we pay an absurd amount of money for my son to go to the school anyway. And on top of it, they get more money out of you,
yes,
by getting you to go to an auction where you overbid on crap that you really would never want or will never use.
Because you're doing it for the school.
Right? Yeah, it's all for the school. For like new gymnasiums and new clothes for the cheerleaders and new basketballs and all the other stuff that they need. So we went Saturday night, and as we walked around, it was 2 hours of walking around in the gymnasium, just going up and down the same aisles over and over again, looking at all the same stuff.
Items up for bid.
Yes. A silent auction where they had a piece of paper. And, for instance, an item that was up for bids was a golf cart.
Okay.
And if you wanted the golf cart, you could just cut through the crap. They had a bottom line price.
Right.
You put your number there. That meant nobody else could bid on this golf cart.
So they got their top asking price.
And on each item, they had what the real value was.
Okay.
So they weren't lying to you. Like some of the stuff, like a pair of earrings. They had a pair of earrings, and it said retail value $25.
Right.
And the top price that they were asking was $50.
Double.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So if you saw these earrings that I have to have them, you could write it in, final bid, you get it.
How much was the price for the golf cart if you wanted it? Just out of curiosity.
A lot.
Really?
A lot.
Like,
a lot.
That oh, really?
Much, yeah.
That's not bad for a golf cart, though, I think.
That's about double.
Double what it's worth?
Double what it's worth.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we're walking around, and after 10 minutes, it got very old.
Right.
Because once I'd seen everything that was up for bid, now later they had a real auction.
Yeah.
Where they had the guy stand up with the hammer, all that stuff. But this was a silent auction. So we're walking around, and they served adult beverages. So I had a couple of adult beverages.
What would they have been, perchance?
Martinis.
Martinis!
And there was one item that I wanted to get.
Mm-hmm.
It's this giant, big production. All this crap on a table for a car.
Yeah.
For a car, Buzz.
A car. Because it's what you want, and that's what you're going to bid on.
Jumper cables, flares, armor all, everything you'd possibly need.
Like a kit.
For a car. No,
but like Buzz.
But more than a kit, Buzz. Yeah. I mean, like, spectacular.
More than stuff. A kit because they put time and effort into putting it together.
And 30 hours of driving lessons from a driving school.
For you?
Well, some would say I need it, but Bart gets his learner's permit in 1 month.
So it's a perfect gift for him.
Right. On March 31st, he's going to get his license, and he'll be able to drive with Mommy here.
Wow.
So I thought, you know what? This is great. Now, it says retail value on this, for all this crap, along with the driving lessons, $1,000.
Okay.
So if I wanted it right away, it was like $1,500. Right. So there's no way I'm going to pay that. So here was the move that I did all night. I saw that someone had bid like $100, and the next bid was $150.
Okay.
So I put my number down, and I set it back down. I went back 10 minutes later. Someone went up to $250.
Uh-huh.
I looked at it. The next bid was $350, which was incidentally my drop-dead price.
Okay. Uh-huh.
That's where I was going to quit bidding on this. So what I did was...
You wanted it, but once you got your eyes on this, this is what you wanted.
This is what I wanted. So I wrote my number down, the number that they gave us when we went in to bid on stuff, and then for the next hour, I just stood by them. Whenever anybody walked by down this aisle, I would stand in front of all of this car care stuff. And
blocking it out.
Yeah, and I would see people try to look around me.
So it would have been necessary for anyone that wanted to see the item to literally put their hand on you and say, excuse me.
Right.
Right.
And one guy did.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
One guy finally said, excuse me, I'd like to look at this. And as he did that, all I did was simply, this is a great move, I picked up the piece of paper.
Oh, God.
I picked up the piece of paper and put it in my pocket.
Oh.
And I walked away. And I watched the guy stand there.
This item is now closed.
I saw the guy stand there and he looked. Couldn't find a thing to write his number down on.
He, too, was intrigued by the price.
Yes, and he walked away. Mm. Then I went back, took the thing out of my pocket, set it back down, and went on watch for the next 30 minutes.
Then, when you were on watch, were you standing right next to the table?
I mean, on top of it. My butt cheeks were implanted in these items.
Sitting right on top of where people would write their names.
Yes.
And nobody would want to take pen to paper down to your bad place.
Of course. Of course, the no-no hole. The no-no place.
The no-no place.
So about 6:55, they had different staggered times for when everything was going to be
closed.
Closing business. 6:55 on all yellow items, and boom, Got it.
Yay.
You got it. And there it was.
Big winner. And
was this stuff that you could actually take home with you right away?
Yes. We got, for a change, a great value.
That's good.
We got all this stuff. We got it very cheap. So I decided to celebrate my good fortune by having what I believe was the third and final martini of the evening.
Oh, boy.
Now, we had arrived at 5.
Right.
And dinner was at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I was feeling good as we walked from the gymnasium to the auditorium where they were going to have the dinner and the auction. Sat down at a big fancy table. Everybody's wearing fancy clothes. And I noticed as I went to sit down that we were all sitting on folding chairs.
Okay.
And I could already see that there were some slivers coming out of the corner of my folding chair.
Mm-hmm.
Like this folding chair, I'm not just setting this up because the chair collapsed, but the chair.
So what you're indicating is that prior to the chair's collapse, it was a chair that was defective. It was obvious to the naked eye that the chair was defective.
If I had not had 3 martinis, I probably would not. I would have looked at it and said, "Look,
right.
Chair defective.
Right.
Don't sit down." But instead, the process
just plunked down on it.
The process was like this: "Look, chair defective. Ah. Place to sit." So I sat and I mean, boom, through the floor.
Like crash and made a
yes.
A big noise.
Like, well, that's not quite the noise I'm looking for.
Donna's about to sit down in the chair. Do we have the real good noise here?
Well, it's on here somewhere.
That's not it.
That's not it either. Yeah. We've got about a million sound effects on this one tape.
There you go.
That's the one.
Legs up in the air the whole night.
I'm down in the and a leg has broken off the chair. And my tie's at a jaunty angle. And I jump up to my feet and say, "I'm okay.
Let's eat.
I'm okay. I'm okay. Stop looking at me now."
This is there.
And then I started with, it was a defective chair.
Right.
Yes. He said, "It's a defective chair. Bring me another chair. I'll prove to you."
Did they bring you another one?
They brought me another chair and I sat down on it. And then I got up and I said, "Watch, I'll sit down harder." I sat down harder.
That's taking a chance.
Yeah, I know. But I think I proved my point.
That's good. But you enjoyed the rest of the evening?
Yeah, it was fine.
You didn't have any pain, right? Obviously, at that point.
No. Jumped up like a cat, Mike. Cat-like reflexes.
Was the dining area full when you collapsed?
Of course it was.
Of course it
and
was.
And of course, yeah. We're sitting right at the front table. Of course.
fun.
Look at me. I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
So the evening was a success.
Yeah, it was great fun. Then Sunday, we get up Sunday, and I said to my wife, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a man today. Today I'm going to be a man because there's nothing good on television. So what I'm going to do is, first, I'm going to replace the light bulb, the headlamp that's out of my car. For me, this is a giant job."
Sure. It's terrific, though.
Okay, and I said, second thing I'm going to do...
real auto repair.
Because it's not like you just... What you got to do is, you got to take the whole goddamn thing out. You got to unscrew the whole thing and get the right bulb and all this other crap.
Right.
I said, not only could I do that, I'm going to change the oil in this car today.
That's a manly man thing to do.
Okay, so I got up like, strong as bull. Feel good.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I must not scream. I must not scream in front of them. I must stay. I must not listen to my mind. I must not run off the set. I must not run. I must not run. I know. I know I'll break down. They'll find out I'm weak. They'll find out I'm in pain. Oh, God. What God? I will break down, look like a fool, an idiot. They'll find out I can't act. Can't act. Can't act at all. End of the vision. Well, there must be a way out. And my mind is telling me there's a way out. You get a nice, cool gun.
We'll talk with Phyllis Diller and continue with our panel right after this. Don't go away.
Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full of grub.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
First thing I gotta do, I gotta find the right book. And just go and buy any bulb. The bulb that I need was an H7 55 watt bulb. I looked it up in the book, in the owner's manual.
Specialty bulb.
Right. It's the kind that's made for this car, for this Volvo. So, I called Track Auto. Called the Track Auto about 9 o'clock. Well, first, I called it 5 till 9. And this old codger picks up the phone, Track Auto. And I'm prepared. I said, "Yes, do you have the H7 55 watt bulb for a Volvo?" "We're not open. We don't open till 9. Call back at 9. 5 till 9.
Right.
So I say, okay. I sit there, I wait 5 minutes.
Terrific. You know, Saturday morning in retail. Sunday morning in retail. Yeah.
So I wait 5 minutes. I call back.
Dragano.
Same guy. I said, hey, it's me again. Can I help you? I said, yeah, I just talked to you 5 minutes ago when you said you weren't open.
It's like the East German movie, you know, the East German woman moving over to the other window.
I'm looking for an H7 55-watt bulb.
Hold on a minute.
Again, like it's a big imposition to this guy.
Right.
So now I'm waiting.
That's just auto parts store speak, though. He deals with everybody like
right.
that.
I'm waiting. I hear him talking to people. He comes back to the owner and goes, well, I don't have that, but I got something compatible. You come down, put it in the computer. I got something compatible. I said, oh, beautiful. You're a lifesaver. See you in a moment. So I get in the car, and I drive all the way to Track Auto. I walk in, this old curmudgeon, like Andy Rooney type, sitting by the door, and I said, hi. And I walk in, and I've got the old bulb in my hand.
Which is always good. I mean, that's the way you do it.
Right. I walk in, and I show him, I go, hi, H7, 55 watt. Got it. Are you the guy that called? He said, yes, I am. I don't have it. I said, no.
Oh, I love that.
I said, you said you didn't have it, but I'd be able to find something compatible. No, I didn't. And I said, wait a minute, I don't know anything about cars, so I'm not making this stuff up. This is not something I could make up. You said to me I could come down, look in the computer, and you'd find something compatible. No, I didn't. Oh, we don't let people just look at our computer.
Oh, God.
I don't have it.
Happy day.
So I go, oh, all right, you know, whatever. F you. So I leave. I leave. I get all the way back home, and I'm going through the phone book. Now it's 10:30 on Sunday morning. I finally find a place, a different place, the auto parts place. I call. They got it. I go. I get it. I bring it home. I get out the toolkit. I do all this crap with the taking out the headlight. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of myself. I get it put together. It works. I'm on a real high. Now I'm really... really feel like a man.
You're Pat Goss.
Right. Pat Goss's anal garage.
You're the car guy. You're the total car guy all the way.
So now I said, you know what I'm going to do? Now I'm going to change the oil.
You got to go to McDonald's, get the straws first.
No, not like my cousin Ronnie.
Okay.
But I said, you know what I need, though? What I'm going to do is I'm going to go and I'm going to buy me a couple of those ramps.
Oh, wow.
A couple of them metal ramps that you drive your car right up on so that I can just... And I'm going to buy me one of them things that you lay down on and you roll yourself underneath the car.
I am surprised you're still here. I really, I'm surprised you're at work and we're not, like, visiting you in the hospital today.
So, I think, where can I get these things at? Track Auto. But I'm not going to go to the same Track Auto I went to. I'm going to go to... Super Track Auto.
Hey, with all the real big stuff.
Okay, so I go to Super Track Auto. I get over there yesterday afternoon. I go in. I find exactly what I need.
Right.
These big-ass metal things that you drive your car up on.
Yep.
I got two of them. The car goes about 3 feet in the air. I got the thing that you roll underneath with. I got the oil. Mm-hmm. I got the oil pan to drain the oil in.
You read all the instructions?
No.
Secure the car so it won't, like, come crashing down and decapitate you?
No.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
And it worked fine.
You're lucky.
It worked fine. So I got all the stuff in the shopping cart, and man, I'm feeling like a real man. I never go to Track Auto.
Right.
If I go to Track Auto, I buy windshield washer. But today, I'm buying real stuff.
You're going to do a real, you know, guy garage project.
Right. So I'm waiting, and I wasn't even minding the fact that I'm waiting an extraordinarily long amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because... the stupidity of the people who were working at Track Auto, the fact that they generally didn't speak the language, or certainly were not old enough to even drive themselves to this Track Auto location.
Right.
That combined with the fact that every Tom, Dick, and Harry that wanted to return something was choosing yesterday to return it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was waiting, and it was very confusing for the people behind the desk. And finally, after waiting about 10 minutes in line, it's my turn. I'm next. This guy in front of me is buying some kind of a rebuilt engine. And I'm the next in line.
I got a rebuilt engine at Track. I mean, I guess it is a super truck.
Yeah.
They sell engines there?
Yes, they had entire engines when you walk in the store.
Oh my God, that's cool.
They have like five engines. Mm-hmm. So this guy, he has the paperwork for this.
Right.
I'm going to buy that engine right there.
Yeah, he's not putting on the little conveyor belts there. You know,
No.
That'd be a little tall order, I would
say. No, the engine is sitting 5 feet away.
I guess I got confused when you said he's buying an engine. I picture the guy like coming up with a shopping cart with an engine in it.
No, so the guy says, I'm buying that engine.
Right.
And the pimply-faced kid behind the counter says, okay. And he rings it up, and he says, how will you be paying for this? And right away, I spot this a million miles away. This guy's a flim-flam guy. I mean, he's down on his luck. He says, I guess I will write a personal check if that's okay. And the kid says, yeah, that's fine, but I need two forms of ID. So the guy writes out the check.
At least he didn't take out a change purse.
So he's writing.
then you'd be in trouble.
So the guy's writing out the check, and the kid, now, this is tough for the kid, because what he has to do, he has to call the check place.
Right. The kid has identified him already as a flim-flam man?
Yeah, the kid, as soon as the kid picks up the phone.
This man is trying to steal our engine.
The guy says, is there a problem? As soon as the kid picks up the phone. The kid says, well, it's over $500, so I have to call the telecheck place.
Right.
I have to call and get approval. And the guy...
Find out that you're wanted.
And the guy says, no, you don't have to do that. I'm telling you, my check's good. Here's my ID.
Oh, that could be a scene.
The kid says, no, I'm sorry. I really have to call. And meanwhile, while this is going on, all of the other people who are working the checkout, everything is ground to a halt because everybody in the store is watching this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that this guy's check is no good.
Right.
But this guy's going to play this out to the very end.
Maybe they've got experience with him.
So the kid's on the phone, and now the kid's asking questions. What's your phone number? The guy tells him his phone number. What's your social security number? Tells him social security number. Can I see your driver's license again? He's reading stuff to people on the telephone. He's going through amounts. He's giving, like, the amount of the check. He's giving the zip code, all this other stuff. He says, can I see some other ID? Guy opens up his wallet and he says, here's a bank card. Here's another piece of ID. Now, at this point, a woman who's standing behind me in line, who for a change is more agitated than me,
right.
She says, to no one in particular, she says, you know what I find annoying is that if someone has a bank card, they could simply have gone to the bank and gotten the money. In today's society, writing a check is outdated.
Right.
It simply is not the way that people make purchases in the 21st century.
She's right about that.
That's true. Okay, but I know, and most of the guys in line know.
If she's got a bank card, you should, you know, roll, scan the card through, and that should be it.
Right, but this guy's pulling a scam. Right. I mean, you can tell by looking at this guy.
Right.
So we all just look, turn around and look at her and give her, you know. Everybody in line is just giving each other these looks like.
I bet you feel a nice bond with that woman when she says that, because she, for a change, someone else is beginning to cause the scene.
Right, and no one says anything to her because she's a lady.
And she's right.
So we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. 10 minutes goes by. Finally, the kid hangs up the phone, and he says, real loud, oh,
you got any gum?
Your check is declined.
Oh.
You don't have the money in your account. You can't buy the engine. So now, the guy attempting to save some face.
Right.
The guy says,
okay.
He stands there for a minute, and then he goes, can I see that gear shift behind you, please? And the kid goes,
stop it.
Which one? The one for a Chevy, because they have all these parts on the wall behind him.
Oh, my God, he's going to pummel the kid.
So, no, this guy, now, after being turned down for the check,
right,
and after making everybody wait, and he can't buy the item he wants, now the kid goes to the back wall, he gets this hideous-looking Arthur Fonzarelli-type gear shifter thing.
Oh, her shifter.
And he takes it off the wall, and he shows it to the guy. And the guy is standing there looking at it, like, back and forth, as if he's thinking about buying it. Now, what nobody is saying is, how can you buy this when you've just had your check rejected? Just move on. Save face.
Go away.
Just go, go, go.
Flee the scene.
So then he starts to get this vibe from people, because people behind him in line.
Born a few holes in the back of his head.
We're going like this. I mean, you got 10 people in line behind, all clearing their throats at the same time. The guy then turns and looks at everybody in line, turns back and says to the pimply-faced kid, I want you to hold this for me. I will be back. I want you to hold this item for me. Don't sell this to anybody. And as he's walking out the door, he says, and when I come back, I'm going to get that engine, too. I'm going to get the engine, and I'm going to get that shifter. You hold it for me, okay?
He says with tears streaming down his face.
I'll be back.
Way to play it.
I'll be back.
Nice round of applause as he leaves the store.
And the guy leaves. It's like everybody in the store turns around and goes, Who is he fooling? Like he's going to be back. Like he's ever going to be back.
Oh, my God.
So that was two bad track auto experiences in one day. The first one, their fault. Second one, not their fault.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Rob, this is Liam Sheen. Would you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame please destroy my phone number? I'm kind of serious about this, you know. I can take it, but I can also dish it out. Like, if I hear from you guys again, I'm liable to go to the president of WTFK and file a complaint against you. You don't want that for a Christmas present, right? Have a nice day, turkey.
Enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Got home, and I got those ramp things.
And you did it successfully?
No problem.
Drain the oil out?
Drained all the oil out.
What did you do with the oil after you drained it out?
Well, like what you're supposed to do down the sewer. No, I took it to the gas station.
Good. Did you
good
really? Man.
Yeah.
You did like you're supposed to.
I got a pan. My wife wouldn't let me do anything else. Oh. I got a pan. You drain out all the oil.
The entire time just regretting the fact that you couldn't do what you really wanted to do. Just dump it in the driveway.
Well, maybe out by the woods.
Isn't right there like, that's of course the big deal. If you don't do that with the old oil.
That's right.
You take it to the gas station.
So I did it. I changed the oil. Changed the oil filter.
And the headlight works okay?
The only problem with the headlight.
A little brighter than the other one?
It's just a little. I mean, no, the wattage is correct. It's
cockeyed?
Yeah. I noticed that today when I pulled into the station. I'll show you tonight when we leave.
That can be adjusted. You didn't touch the bulb, did you? The halogen bulb?
No, Buzz.
Your fingers? Good.
No, only a million people told me that, Buzz.
Okay, that's very important.
What do you mean you didn't touch it? Isn't that the bulb you replaced?
Right. No, but the bulb itself comes in a casing.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in a big metal thing, and it says real big letters in the book,
yeah,
and also on the box for this,
right,
don't touch the light yourself with your hands.
Oh, really?
You're not supposed to touch. It's like it actually looks like a little Christmas tree light.
Oh, really?
And it's got this big-ass metal casing.
What do you replace, then? What do you?
The whole thing.
Oh, the whole casing.
The metal casing and everything.
Okay, all right, the whole thing.
But it
thing
says in real big letters, you know, just for dumb guys like me,
mm-hmm,
do not touch the light.
Don't stay away from the light.
So no problem. Light, not touch.
Excellent. But now you got one headlight that's like shooting up straight up in the air.
Yeah.
You can adjust that.
There's one that's just a little cockeyed.
Do you change your own headlights, Buzz?
No, I've done it before and focused them before, but
You focused them before.
Sure, yeah, that's very important.
How do you focus a headlight?
Well, you put some marks on the wall on your garage, and you back the car up just the right distance, and you make sure that the light is pointing to the correct spot.
Oh, there you go.
I'd rather have the cockeyed headlight
writing on the walls again.
Mm-hmm. Really would.
Man, so you got a problem with it? I mean, like a noticeable problem with your headlight?
It depends how you define noticeable.
And probably all the people that are facing you on a two-lane road are grateful, too.
And
as their corneas are seared as they drive by.
Don't forget, I have one of those cars where you can't turn the headlights off, even during the daytime.
At night, are you getting a lot of people flashing you the high beam sign?
I just changed it yesterday, so I won't know until tonight. But I'll let you know.
You'll be driving along the road, and somebody will think it's like one of those movie premieres.
It's not quite that high, okay. But it's definitely a skew.
Big searchlight, you know. You're having trouble seeing the road, but you can get a good look at the telephone pole.
Hello, Malcolm.
Hey, Don.
Buddy.
When you put the new oil filter on, did you take a little bit of oil and put it around the ring?
No, why? Was I supposed to do that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on.
F
it's a naysayer.
You. Come on, F you. Please, be happy for me. I finally did something.
I don't change the oil in my car until smoke. You know, that's how you'll see me on the side of the road many times. You're calling for the service truck.
Do you know my very first car that I ever had was an Opel, a German Opel, mm-hmm, this little tiny Opel.
Right.
And I drove this car to work at my first radio station every day.
Right.
And one day when I was driving to work, I started hearing a click, 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 and I thought nothing of it.
Right.
And I ran it like that for 3 days until it just stopped going.
That's called the engine seizing.
Yes. I cracked the engine.
But the engine block was cracked due to lack of oil, and that is that's a brand new engine.
Well, yeah, right. I had to get rid of that car. Hello, Ed.
Hey, Don and Mike. Love your show.
Thank you, buddy.
You know, I had a car. I had a Jeep. Remember that Jeep I used to have?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you like that because I used to. That was during my real. That was really the ground zero of my redneck phase when I had the Jeep and I used to take the top off the Jeep and drive it with my shirt off.
Mike would leave the station. Go outside, take your shirt off.
That's right. In December.
And then
no, it was summertime.
And then drive away. Turn away. Drive it without a shirt off down the street.
And one time I took it into one of those quick lube places, right. Either Jiffy Lube, Quick Lube, something like that. And they had neglected to put the cap back on after they had changed the oil. And and so I was driving along and my engine seized on 395 in D.C. It just completely seized up. And when I took it into the service, they said they didn't reattach whatever they were supposed to reattach. And as soon as I had gotten the oil change, the oil had drained out of the crankcase, causing the engine to completely seize. They were able to save the engine. I didn't have to, but the car was never the same after that. But I felt like a real dummy.
Hello? Well, not your fault, though.
No, it wasn't my fault.
No. Hello, Ed.
Oh, hey, Don. I got the martini drinker's rule for you.
What is that?
A martini is like a woman's breast. And one is not enough, but three is too many.
Well, I don't know whose rule that is. Thank you.
Hello,
Saul.
I'm just going to lay a guess that he doesn't follow his own rule that often.
Hello, Saul.
Yeah, I'm the guy who was in front of you in line. You really hurt my feelings. And you know, I know where you are. I'm going to wait for you to get off the air tonight, Don. I really feel low, man.
This is the guy who bounced the check, right?
Hey, I didn't bounce the check. I want you to know I went in there and I bought that. I bought that stuff this morning.
Hold on, you cannot drop the S-bomb, sir.
You cannot say that. Very
thank
upset.
You. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
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 Don?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to congratulate you guys on changing your own oil. The only question I got, though, is how much money did you actually save by doing this yourself?
Oh, who cares?
Oh, okay. I was just trying to...
I think it was cheaper. I really think it was cheaper. The ramps...
Yeah, I mean, now that you've got everything, too, she can do it all the time, right?
The ramps that I bought were like $30 for two of them.
And okay. Now you can use those for anything you want.
Right.
Well, what else could you do besides...
Do some quick driving.
You can do your own movie stunt. You can roll the car.
I did have a slight problem getting the car up on the ramp, though.
It's a question of aim, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? And what I finally ended up doing was just... getting out of the car,
right.
Putting these ramps directly in front of the wheels,
right.
And then just barreled ahead. But what I did was, on one of them it was perfect, and the other one I actually drove over it.
So
a while it was stuck under my car.
So it wasn't perfect.
No, it wasn't perfect.
How'd you fix that?
Just backed and forth.
Oh, God. Yeah, how's your tire?
Fine.
It's not shredded.
The car's a friggin' tank. Absolutely fine.
With the cockeyed headlight.
Yes. Hey, come on, don't mock me.
I'm not proud of you. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it at all.
I couldn't be proud of us. I came inside and said to my wife, what a team we are. Look at you. You are sewing, and I am out. I was so proud when Bart came over with his friend. For the first time ever in Bart's life, he brought a friend over, and there I am on that rolling thing.
That's cool.
Underneath the car.
You just have to be careful. Read the instructions about those. I mean, there's a system there. It's like jacking up a car.
What's the system?
If it's not perfectly centered or something like that.
You drive up on those things. You know, you drive up on those things, and you pull up the parking brake, and you're golden.
Well, decapitation comes to
mind. I was under there for a half an hour yesterday, at least.
You just locked, you push that emergency brake, you pull that real tight.
I did.
Yeah.
I think I did. No, I did. I'm positive I did.
It's rolling!
I'm positive I did.
Oh, my God.
And even when I was done changing the oil, I still just rolled around under there.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Like, wow.
On your back.
Yeah. I wonder what all this stuff is under here.
I guess you enjoy the fantasy of, like, you're under the car and all of a sudden you see these pretty legs with high heels come up, you know, like every movie cliche, right. You know, and you hear the...
Because look at that dumb Billy Joel video.
Uptown Girl.
That's right, Uptown Girl. Yeah, right, where he rolls down.
Right.
And Bart came over with his friends, and for the first time ever, I rolled out from under the car. I said,
sure.
Hey, Bart. Hey, Daniel. I said to Bart, Barty. Hand me that ratchet wrench, please. Even though I didn't need it.
Right.
And I did that move where I slid back under the car and just put my hand out. Hey, put it in my hand.
There you go.
Thank you.
Slide back under.
Thank you. What are you boys going to do? Yeah, go play your video game. I'm out here fixing the car.
Being a real man.
I'm out here just fixing the car.
King of the castle.
That's right. No idea what I'm doing. Just fixing the car, though.
Yeah, that was that video. I think in the movie Natural Born Killers.
Oh, okay.
Then where she walks in, the guy's working underneath the car. Then she kills him.
Yeah, with you, it always gets back to Natural Born Killers.
Oh, yeah, it does. Very, very, very much. That movie's always in my mind.
Time out. I see we have phone calls. We will take them when we come right back.
And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike.